Great. We're going to, now we've passed all the agendas, papers out, the Hunts made it, and we're going to go ahead and start, and Larry Clarkson will give our opening prayer, and welcome everybody. Larry.
Hey, Heavenly Father, grateful for the opportunity to meet together as a board and members of the ranch. And I just in our decision-making. Grateful for the moisture that we've been blessed with and making sure we've been blessed the land. Blessed be upon all of our family members, wherever they may be throughout the world. They may be safe.
Could you ask for the noise to stop?
Noise, yeah.
All right.
The main water suppression system, high pressure line in our building. Saturday is the only day that other businesses are closed, so sorry.
We'll go ahead and have a roll call, and we're going to do it in a minute, so I want to make sure you can hear or know if whoever's here.
Okay.
So I think.
Who's on the phone?
Okay, Vance, or those that are on the phone, will you please tell us who you are?
Okay,
John Harris.
Oh, go ahead, whoever that was.
Okay, John Harris, John, I heard that. Still couldn't make out that other name. So we have Vance, we have John Harris. And I think there's another party. Can you try telling us your name loudly and slowly?
Brian Castle, Lot 130.
Ronnie Council, is that right? What lot number?
130. Brian Castle.
Okay, Brian. Sorry for the trouble. We have a little extra amount of noise here today. They're doing some construction around this office. So we're a little hampered.
No, so that jackhammer sound I'm hearing is actually a jackhammer?
It is, it is.
I thought that was Skype messing with us.
It's pretty annoying, all right.
Okay.
Okay, fine. so out in the waiting room we've got Candy, and are there other people that are members out there?
Yeah.
Abby Hunt and Mike and Sue, Nick Nichols, and your lot number is
275.
275. It's
all. Are you okay then, Bear? All right. We'll move to approving of minutes. We have 2 minutes to approve the November minutes and the special board meeting we had. So let's first of all, are there any? Let's take the November minutes. Are there any adjustments, corrections that you feel need to be made to the minutes for November?
Same ones that were emailed out to you a couple days after the meeting. Yes, good.
All right. All in favor of approving the November minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Voting is unanimous. Thanks, John. Okay, the special meeting minutes, has everybody had a chance to review those? And are there any corrections or additions?
Those are the ones that we emailed out right after the meeting for the
okay. And I would make a motion that we accept those. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. The minutes have been approved. All right. Item number 3, financial report. Joe?
Is this an extra copy out here?
Did you pass out a financial report out, Joe?
There's this one.
Did you pass out a financial
report?
Jody said the only one we needed was where we're at to the year end. So
profit and loss versus actual?
Yes.
You guys get them now?
No.
As far as, year end goes, you got. She sent one to Mariah and I. We got $34,741 from checking account. We got $1,400 in the ranch manager's account. And we got $15,360 in the savings.
You must be working on
where
the
machine.
She just mailed me this last night.
Let me run through the top here just real quick so I can include it in the meetings and everybody can, in the minutes and everybody can.
Unless Mariah's got updated more.
No, that's more. Those are the bank account. Those are just the bank account numbers at the end, at the end of 2000.
Okay, while he's doing that, let's all look at the balance sheet and the profit and loss statement January through December. And so while he's doing that, everybody just look that over and see if you have any questions.
Ourselves, do we not put our income on ourselves on our profit and loss here?
We do.
Where's the income at?
The income, okay, be on your second page.
Did you turn the page over for
page
one?
Two?
Yeah.
Page two, yeah.
Right where it says total
page
store
two.
Total income. Well, what that come up?
It's broken down by
categorized income, wildlife income.
Right above that is store sales.
Store sales. Total store sales.
Yeah.
There's plenty of empty rooms in here. If you guys want to come in and close the doors, I guarantee it won't be nearly as loud.
Yeah.
Joe, maybe.
Did you find a good looking for Brad?
We're making a consolidated
door. We made $400 or we spent $400?
No, but that is just our income.
I think
so that would be what we brought
why
in.
Why don't you move? Why don't you move right
and
here
far,
and
the
other members can sit on this end of the table.
This one's not broken down nearly as much as the other one is, but does include all of those, and you'll see on the source.
Okay, this room, come on in this room, because it's pretty hard to hear out there.
Yeah, we can close the door. Yeah.
You can't hear a thing out there.
Mike said that I'll be done in about 30 minutes. I'm down and talking to the guys downstairs. So I asked them if they could stop, and they said they're only made to do it for 3 hours. I just asked to try to get that as quick as I can.
Okay, we have at least two more chairs, and maybe we can find another
livestock, miscellaneous.
He's going down.
Total store supplies.
That's the expense.
So we spent
$400 and total for sales.
I don't know. I haven't ever run those.
Where did you show how much we took in?
Okay, so right here.
How much we paid out.
This is how much we brought in. Page six will show you how much we paid out.
Okay.
It's just about three-quarters of the way down, two-thirds of the way down.
So is this showing that I went over $1.78 in my budget on livestock and wildlife?
Yes.
I want to put the $1.78 out.
No, no, no.
No,
no, you are going to be under. No, you are going to be under. You still have a budget.
In other words, go buy me a Coke somewhere.
You can buy a Coke that cheap? Okay, but
so right here, store supplies, it's not broken down as much as the other category, but that amount there is the expense that we spend out on store sales. So essentially we brought in, what did I say?
We brought in 16-something and spent $400.
Okay, let's look maybe at over budget items for a minute. That's what I would like to look at. So, from page one, assessments annually over budget, meaning we collected $5,800 more than we expected. Is that right? Okay. And it's what's this minus 5250?
Okay, so the way this is broken up is that we have been in the past dividing assessments up into two different divisions, 60% and 40%. I believe that what that's saying there is that in the 40% category, the way the amounts are broken up, if someone paid and they only paid part of their assessment, they may have paid the larger portion, which would go to the 60% category, as opposed to the 40% category, that will be less receiving the 40% category. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, so we have $475 and $400 goes to the category for 600%. Someone pays me $375. Then that's going to go to that first category, and our second category is going to lack because that amount has been paid. That's why you're seeing a negative number that we're under budget because we have not been fully paid on enough assessments to have positive numbers in both categories. Is that something more sense?
Hey, John Harris.
So,
yeah.
A little more sense.
Can I ask you a question on your budget? Because you don't can't see this sheet. It's showing that you still have that $4,600. Did you not spend any of that roads on the side of the roads?
If we're making so much income.
I have that on a pending thing right now. That hasn't been completed. Dave was waiting for a part, but I so I put in a request for. Told him that this was pending.
Yes.
Pending him finishing it. So when he finishes, I'll pay him that.
Got it.
So this minus three.
So it's showing you with $4,600
cabin rentals
and $90.49 left. Just so you know, because you can't see this budget stuff.
Page one.
Yeah. So that number shows
okay.
that we had planned on $9,000. We only received $5,800,
so we are under that particular income budget by $3,000.
From buildings and facilities rent income, our grand total for cabin reservations, we were down $1,000 this
That's
2017.
Correct. So compared to, if for interest sake, I compared that to 2016 in my reports when I prepared the cabin, that means we were down about 10%. From 2016, but part of that is we closed cabins down because of the septic trouble we had, and the other problem was we closed down in December. So those two things
okay. That's why we have a 93% of possible
right.
average. Okay. You guys mind if we go through these kind of like this for a minute so we better understand it? Or does everybody feel like we ought to just move on?
I think we can try to understand it.
Okay. So I'm
doing my own thing. So
donations.
Donations didn't have a budget. But
okay. Finance charges.
Going back to donations, most of those donations were received for the washing machine that we purchased
okay.
and the annual meeting, which will go to next year.
Hard time. That was 83% is under 83% of what we expected in donations.
No, excuse me. That was the livestock. Yes, thanks. Sorry, livestock and grazing income. We
okay.
had budgeted 12,000.
And because of various things, I remember recall, and I think so you do too, why we did not have that 2,000, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So. Member services, this is equipment rental. And so compared to what we had rental income on, we're down about 20%. Or are
yes.
we only 20% up? We're only 20% up budget.
That's correct.
Okay. So we did not rent out our equipment as much,
no.
which is not a bad thing.
I'm not in favor of renting it out at all, to be honest with you.
So, because we have greater control when we know who's operating. Well, we always know who's operating it. But, okay. Total member services.
So that's going to include, so we have this equipment rental, and then we also have gravel pit, purchases from the gravel pit, purchases from sale of gasoline, water hauling fees, and water meter fees. those give you the total for the total members.
So 102%. We're about at par with an average here then. And miscellaneous income, what is that?
Let me take a look and identify that exactly.
Mm-hmm. 869% is a pretty high percent.
We only expected 100, wasn't it? But we got 869,
yeah.
That's why it's...
is that part of the donations for the washing machine?
Let me just double
check. It says reimbursed expenses, income, collections, and legal.
Miscellaneous income is its own category. Let me just double check and see where we got that. Oh, okay, I do recall. Miscellaneous income, this was a refund that was given to us by our, it's by Reliance Risk Management. I believe that must be our...
Insurance.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to identify it further, but yes, that's what that amount was.
All right, so we'll be grateful for that. So we're in versus income on page 2. Let's start there. Store sales, we already looked at that a little bit, and total, we didn't sell as much, but 81% of the average then. We received a little more, almost 10% more in wildlife income from the, I imagine, the deer tags.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Auto expenses, we broke just about, oh, wait a minute, no, 3.8% of.
Auto expenses were quite low this year. We had a large budget for the auto expenses and ended up spending a minuscule amount.
Okay, thanks in part to our caretakers talking a lot of that, but and a little bit of luck always when it comes to auto. But yes, okay. Banking fees, we had a little more. Can you account for maybe what happened there?
Yeah, so if you look, the first thing, bank service fees, the merchant service fees are credit card processing fees. That we made a switch halfway through the year and went to Costco, which gave us half the percentage rate that we were working at the time. And so you're going to see some of that reflected
so
there. I think you'll see more.
That will cause a big difference.
It should. Especially now that we have the convenience fees, which I think is important for us to have a portion of those charged to use the credit card processing system. So we should see some change there. And, in fact, I can run a report after our first quarter and let you know where we are.
Okay, that would be great. All right, going down to the bottom of, like, cabin one. Well, do we have this broken down by cabin?
We do.
Yes.
Broken down, except for, I'm sorry, cabin 10 is showing up in the wrong place. That can be read.
Where is the grand total then on page?
You're going to find that at the bottom of page, or on page 4.
Page 4, total cabins. So we've been a margin of 10%. We spent 7% more than we had budgeted. Is that my correct understanding?
That is correct.
So there's the septic tank in cabin one.
Septic tank in, yep.
So, yeah, we had a number of things, did we not, Joe, maintenance this year. So.
Yeah.
So we came out pretty good on that.
Yeah.
And then we fixed up headquarters here and there, right? And so 132, what was our main thing then? The solar system looks like, huh?
Solar system,
yep.
We redid quite a bit.
Okay.
Buildings, removing walls, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, new floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have a much, for those members here, we really have upgraded our headquarters tremendously.
Hopefully, more suitable for people to live in.
Did we get the rebate for the money back from the propane that we had with AmeriGas versus Garkane?
So far, no. I've been in touch with AmeriGas. They've been very slow to work with. However, I've talked with Garkane. I've been on tap with them to make sure we're not getting behind and they're charging us service fees. In the end, they made the decision to give us a $2,000 credit on our bill. I believe that's probably what they told you, wasn't it, Brad? It was going to come around to. Okay. So they said it was going to be $2,000. It wouldn't be more or less. They said, let's just go with the $2,000 so you can pay our bill. I said, great, thank you. We'll take the $2,000. We paid the bill, and I am yet to hear from AmeriGas.
So do we still have tanks out on the ranch? Extra tanks sitting out,
yeah.
Laying out around there?
That belong to AmeriGas.
So when I spoke with Gartain, here's a consideration for the board. When I spoke with Gartain, they had told me that oftentimes it comes down to starting to charge AmeriGas rent to get their propane tanks off the property. So maybe you may want to consider a letter.
This is all the big tanks at the cabins and the small refillable tanks.
Last I heard, they had one left they couldn't find. That's what they told me. So I'm surprised to hear there's more over there. They told me they just had one left they couldn't find, but they had found it.
I think
what
you were talking about are the small
yeah.
5 pound, 10 pound.
Big, 500,000. So we own the propane that's in there, so they'll charge us to pump the propane out, but we own the propane that's in there. And so we should get a rebate on the propane
from America.
That's what I'm expecting.
Where would that show up in our? Would that show up under this cabin stuff?
It would, but unfortunately, this year for last year, it's not going to. The payment for the propane is going to show up in here. Oh, is that what you're asking me? Excuse me. Let me find it here. It should be right here. Yes. Essentially, it was $5,000. I want to say $5,700. I haven't found it yet.
Oh, okay.
Looking now to see where I could locate it. So in fact, let me do a shortcut. It'll be easy.
Well, if it's going to be on our page, we should probably open those again,
at least for a minute. Okay, the amount was $5,600. And I have it located. Oh, okay. It's going to be difficult to identify because when we started budgeting this out, I put it per cabin. So it's actually broken down per cabin. So you'll see under, for example, cabin number one. Cabin number one has a propane category, and it's going to show you how much we have spent on propane.
I see 830.
830, yeah. Are we looking in the same place?
Cabin
page
one,
two.
Cabin 480.
No.
830.
Oh, that was.
So we were under budget. I'm
on
cabin 10.
One, yeah, this one. For 830.
So we spent 830. We budgeted 480, so we were over budget by 173% there.
So.
And one other, let me put one other disclaimer on this. As you look at cabin 10, you think, wait a minute, why was that 144? Part of Gartain's billing system is really difficult, and I talked to their secretary. I tried to have her help me figure it out, but the way they line item, she even said, I don't even know how to read this. So I did my best allocating, but you'll see cabin 10 is not going to be a true reflection of what they really spend on that one. So
the grand total is more what
we should. Overall, we spent $5,600 on that switchover from AmeriGas to Gartain minus AmeriGas. Getting back.
So 5,600 with the $2,000.
That includes the discount.
So
yes.
It was $7,000 to switch over. And how many gallons of propane did we receive?
Oh, total. Let me look. It's taking a second to calculate. Roughly, we received 400 gallons per cabin. Some 500. I'd say the average is right around. I'd say it's close to about 400 gallons a cabin.
So that wasn't the cost of the switchover. That was really the cost of buying the gas.
That's correct, because the tank set was only $1.04 per tank we set. So, yes, essentially the cost.
So roughly the expense that we have here is just simply propane.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it hasn't cost us anything. So it would be interesting to see how many gallons we use. So you think it's around 500? So
yeah, I can tell you exactly, but for the average, yeah,
80% of the tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, for example, cabin number one, cabin number two has 402 gallons. Cabin three is 410. Cabin four was 389. Cabin six, 405. Again, giving myself the disclaimer that those are really hard to read, those lines. Cabin 9 has 500 gallons. Cabin 10, 409. I skipped a couple, but you can see where I'm getting that 400-gallon average across the board.
So we got 4,800 gallons of gas for $5,000.
Pretty much.
And we did good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, let's continue on then. Okay, so the bottom line, let's see, what page is the bottom line on cabins?
So on cabins, page 4, you'll find the bottom line on cabins. Total cabins is about a third of the way down.
So, okay. So we're under 10%. We're 7.8% over, so that's pretty. And the utilities expenses, propane, we just went through that, and that's why that should adjust when we get our money back. Okay, total of headquarters would be a major total, and summary, right, is for 188%.
132.7% for total headquarters utilities. Is that what you're
saying? No.
Oh, you moved on.
I made that fencing right here in headquarters. So is that going to fencing?
That's headquarters fencing. So that's not your fencing budget. Is that what, am I anticipating the right question?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that agriculture paid for the materials that they used on the headquarters fencing.
If you did, it got moved to here.
Did it all come out of that? This is the budget for fencing. We have some budget for fencing at airport.
Yes. So essentially what you see when you see a budget sheet, you're going to have everything broken down. But in my bank account records and in these, I don't have it broken down by that. So all I have to do is reallocate it. So it was allocated incorrectly to begin with.
Right.
But this is the new correct allocation for headquarters fencing. We took it out of your budget.
So the year end. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to get to 188% over, if you look back, we have 32 over the utilities.
That's the total ranch house, right?
That's the total headquarters. So in total headquarters, you're going to have included, from fencing, grounds maintenance, headquarters, utility expenses, everything from here down to total headquarters, including the ranch house, all of those.
And including the new laundry.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And the way we compensated for, like, the laundry shed, or was that the major expense?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Candy. I take that back. No, the laundry cabin is down below in our repair reserve category. It was not included up there.
So my question, I guess, to help me understand, we're 188% over our budget at headquarters. We did do a lot of things that we felt were necessary.
It shouldn't need to be repeated.
This should be needed. Where did we get that money from? Did we get that from other categories then?
We got that from not having the managers, and that money that we saved there was applied to the money that we put out for the ranch house updating.
All right. Well, we can look at our very bottom line. So let's go to page 5. Our heavy equipment then. We stayed within budget, and fuel was amazing. I think that's because they didn't travel to and from Kanab, which
every day,
which was
3 times a day,
which was not probably a correct thing. So anyway, that's probably a better reflection of what our fuel expense should be, although that's on the slim side of it too. Let's administration. Our total administration, we're within 10% of 107. Okay, let's go to page 6.
Right.
Yes, that would be a correct number. Yes. So let me pull up.
1,100. That's a big percentage.
Oh,
that's not right.
Where did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Board meeting supplies?
Board meeting supplies and office supplies.
Okay. Part of that is because we bought new equipment to run these meetings with, and that has fallen under that category. So it is correct, but that is
we only budgeted $353, right?
$30.
$30 was not a big number. Roads. My feeling, I don't know how when we did the budget, but we do need more culverts, because we only spent 70% of what we budgeted there. Not that we have to spend that much, but.
John, you have a bunch of culverts,
yeah.
Right?
This is John. Phil?
Yes. We have a need for many more culverts than we have, is that right?
I'm sorry, I didn't copy.
We have a need for many more culverts than we have than the ones that you recently
We do have a need for many more culverts. Now, I have $4,690 and some pennies left, but I'd already sent in to Mariah and Joe, let Joe know, and Mariah, and I guess that's it. I have a pending bill that will be coming up that will eat up the rest of last year's budget on Meadow Canyon. On Meadow Canyon. And the reason it's not done yet because we're waiting on a part. But I have Steve Lloyd commissioned to brush hog the side of the Meadow Canyon Road there. I've set that money aside for that. Go ahead.
Okay, so
do you need more culverts than what you've purchased for this next year?
Yes. Yes, I'm gonna end up getting some more. There's some over in Slide that I need to do, and Larry, very frankly, and I have talked about some stuff over there.
Okay. Thank you.
Just for information, in the 2018 budget, we've allocated $10,000. So that's significant.
For culverts, right?
For culverts,
yeah,
just
okay.
For culverts.
Okay. Now let's go to
page. Just for clarification, John doesn't understand. He feels like he set aside this money to use for last year's over with. So it can't go into last year's finance. We take a check in February and make it. So we need to figure out how to add this amount to this next year's budget.
Ear tag it.
And so when we carry it over, you have to subtract almost $5,000 to get to where we balance.
And on this other sheet here, as of December 31st, we have $34,000 in our checking and $15,000 in our savings.
The problem with that is you're already collecting
some of that is next year's money.
Oh.
Very little, though. Very little. Okay. I think I only have maybe five assessments in that
money.
Amount.
Okay. As long as we're tracking so we don't run into John thinks he has so much money next year to spend because he saved it from last year, and we've already spent it elsewhere.
In general, we don't want to do that carry forward stuff. We want to budget a year and try to spend it.
So I've kept a list of those very expenses so we can be sure that we know what we have coming in. And the only question, there's a couple questions on that list when we get to the bottom line, but we should be safe.
I think everybody, I'll indicate with a yay that you think Mariah's pretty super.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
She can buy my coffee anytime.
Okay, good.
I'm not an account.
I know it's true. I know. Sorry about that. Like, I owe you.
Okay, let's move on down.
I had a question, Phil.
Yes, question, yes.
Yeah. On my budget there, I didn't hear the end of it. You guys were talking about...
You're okay, John. On the budget, you're okay. We're keeping track of it, and you'll be fine.
Very good. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. How did we luck out on taxes? 85% is all what we budgeted. Just
Part of that is because we didn't pay payroll for the first part of the year. So the taxes will be lower because of that.
Okay.
So we'll go back to regular beginning this year.
All right. So page 7 then. Total system maintenance and repairs, we budgeted $2,000 and we went over, but I think there was no doubt none of those were optional things that we had to do.
They weren't, and they'll benefit us for years to come, especially if we stay on the maintenance. So it's unfortunate that cost really built up over the last 10 or 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And that included the
cleaning
the tank, the 2000.
Five parts.
And then buying your system,
your
that's in there.
Is that the water testing kit then?
Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, we're coming down to the final grand finale here then. So net income was $1,161% better than we projected. Is that right? Or no, over. Wait a minute. I keep getting mixed up. Percent of budget. So we collected more money than we anticipated, or somehow our net income is more, not collected. That's the bottom line is that, right?
That's correct.
So over budget, $44,000. We figured out how to spend it when we made up our budget
for the next upcoming year.
All right. I appreciate going through that. I hope it gives us all a better idea of where the money goes, because it goes quickly, and it's our responsibility to make sure it goes to the right places. Joe, anything? So let's see. We have this other page, the balance sheet. Can somebody explain the balance sheet to me? I'm not an accountant.
That's basically your fixed assets, the value of the things that you have as of that snapshot date. It's kind of irrelevant to what we do as far as budgeting, but it just identifies, for example, at that moment, what assets we have, the values that they have for tax purposes. But it's great if you're going to get a loan. That's what they look at. But for our purposes, it really doesn't make any difference.
I understand that now. Identify what it is. Okay,
so
very
really
good.
So it really doesn't change that much.
No, whether the Ford truck's worth $5,000 or $5,500 to our purposes, we drive it around until it dies. That's all.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make it a lot of money.
Okay, so now we'll go back to this that Joe is reading off of. And,
copy those, right?
Yeah, there's there's about 10 copies here somewhere.
Yeah, there's this one. Got it.
I think that's the same one. So if anybody didn't get one, I need that back when you're done. Just put it in.
Okay. Any questions about those balances? They're good because they're all positive and they're significant, I think.
They're not final, though, just a reminder. Those, of course, we have to take out the receipts we haven't paid, such as the bill for $5,000 and some other things. But
okay.
Essentially, there's some
positive. Before I forget, did Settlers Cove ever give you a copy of that?
No, I still haven't received a copy from them yet. They're still on my list, though.
I've called them and left them two messages since I've requested it, and they haven't returned my message.
I'll try again.
So,
okay, I think this also includes the buying of the dump truck, too.
It does.
It would include everything.
Yeah.
The summary balance, the only thing we need to adjust are assessments that were paid for next year that are in there need to come off, give us an accurate balance, and then we need to reconcile checks or debts that are outstanding that still need to be paid. That should leave you still $20,000+ in the bank to carry over.
We
have
not
good math, $1,000
for
agriculture at the last, and that hasn't come out yet.
Which one?
$7,000 above and beyond what our budget was. We allocated it.
But that's for next year.
This is all 2017.
In 2017.
That's when you had it set aside. Isn't that part of what John's $5,000 is?
No.
That's not going towards
in
you?
In November, we talked about adding $5,000 for brush clearing and $2,000
for chemical. Yeah, I've got both of those.
Money.
Yes.
That's
yet to come. Yeah, I've got you on my list for both of those, five and two.
Maybe we could have a category or a little junior report monthly on. Maybe like there's three things now, Joe or John's and Brad's
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
and the balance.
Mm-hmm.
So we know exactly. Okay. Oh, we can go out and buy a great no something else. You know, but so we don't get too happy.
But there's definitely money coming out still out of there.
Because the fool is
sure.
quickly parted with his money. Yeah.
And you can incorporate that into last year's in 2007.
Sure. And then
that's the problem is for taxes and everything else, if it wasn't spent, it doesn't go into last year. Now we have to figure out, okay, in addition to your budget next year, you've got $7,000 that has to come out of that bank account, but it can't. 2017
is tax reasons, yeah, it's done.
That's why we're at all possible. Anything has to be actually spent. Even if you're prepaying something, it needs to be spent by the end of the year or the end of that year. So that's why I say when we look at the bank account balance, we can't spend what's there. Because John's looking for five, you're looking for seven, and we have bills that I need to pay. And so we just have to make sure that fits. That's lunch.
Well, we are... It's 11:46, and Joe's report time was up until noon. So let's take a 15-minute recess, bathroom break, lunch break, whatever, and we'll probably make it 25 minutes, and then we'll resume. Okay. You phone people, we're going to call our meeting back into order. Hope you're out there. So now it's Mariah's on deck here for some office report stuff.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, for letting me have a little spot. This would be very helpful. So Barry asked me if I could just give an update on the collections process, and then we could have a discussion on it, and I'll lean some of that towards what you want to discuss. But
right.
Essentially where we're at is Barry and I met. We looked over the files that I had prepared, and we made our deposit check to Jenkins Begley, and Barry went ahead and submitted those to them. And then received verification from them that they had received them, and then we had some questions come up, and the one main question that has us at a stall, which is where we currently are right now, is that they are requesting that we provide them with a signed, ratified minutes that where we make some changes to our bylaws. Once happened in 2016 and once happened in 2003.
They came back and said, okay, well, we're ready to do these collections, but we won't do it until you provide us with all these documents for amendments to the bylaws back as far as 2003. I'm like, I don't know how that has anything to do with collecting past due assessments. But they wouldn't move forward unless the board indemnifies them or provides them with copies. Anyway, it's kind of frustrating. It stopped the process.
Do we care if we indemnify them or not?
I don't want to. I don't want to indemnify them against what may or may not.
Just on those changes? Or
well, I don't know exactly. I mean, the bottom line is if they're going to be the law firm that represents us in collecting these debts, why can't, I mean, bills are out there. The bylaws have been in place forever. I mean, I don't know why we're at a standstill or why they're not willing to move forward. But I obviously am probably more frustrated than anybody else. So do you guys
so they're
want
not, they're not budging at all on that issue. Then.
They haven't. And so the question is do we want to try to gather signatures from the board members that were board members in 2003?
Something interesting, if I may. When going through the water file, getting ready for our sanitary survey, I did find 2003 ratified with signatures from the board at that time.
Okay.
So I do have 2003, as soon as we get the water file back, which will be pretty soon because you guys are going to bring that in. 2016, I I'm still looking for that. Vance is...
Okay, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
I can tell you 2016 doesn't exist.
Okay.
So the board members that were board members in 2016 when we changed the water,
mm-hmm.
added the bylaw for the water, if all those board members are willing to sign and say, yes, this was an amendment to the... Because normally we do it, and it's... I don't know why they're asking. If it's adopted in a board meeting and adopted by a vote of the members, I don't know why we have to... The board members all have to sign. But that's what they're asking for.
I don't think that should be too good.
Well, and that's why I bring it up in the meeting. If somebody's willing to do that, that was on the board and handled gathering that, you get it to them, they're off to the races. In the meantime,
so, Mariah, would you know what to send to each board member or give each board member to sign? Did you say you have to just have it notarized or something?
Well, I'd have to write something up. It's not that difficult, but it just says, we acknowledge that the bylaw was amended by affirmative vote, blah, 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 and I can prepare a document. Somebody's got to gather signatures from those that were on the board at the time, which includes several people I don't know.
And Jeff Nicholson and
the guy, there's another guy.
And Leland.
No, there's one more guy.
Bill.
He didn't come to the meeting.
Robert Muskell.
Well, if somebody can gather a signature from those guys, I can
create a document. Well, they were in Vegas by Robert somewhere, right? In the
Sandy Valley.
He lives in Sandy Valley, about 22 miles out of town.
Bill.
Yes, ma'am?
Right. I I am looking at.
Vance is talking to everybody. Say again, right. Vance.
I'm looking at a document dated 30th of May 2015 with signatures from, looks like you and Joe Bose ratifying the 2003 bylaws. Mariah, you should have a copy on your phone. Jody sent it out.
We have the 2003. We're looking at the 2016.
So the long and short of it is I can create a document so somebody can gather signatures from people, and then we can get it to them and then move forward.
Will they have to be all original signatures on one sheet of paper and then notarized, or how does that have to work?
I don't think you need it at all, but I would suspect that fax or email signatures would be fine, but... I don't know why they're asking for it, so that's to talk to them and say, what are you going to require?
Okay, I can do that.
Is everybody in favor of having Barry move ahead on that letter?
Yeah, I can put that together. So I'll put it together, get it to Mariah, and then just we'll have to figure out who or how we contact the past board members to get them sign off on it.
I mean, I can meet Bob Musco in Vegas. He lives a long way from me, but he works in Anderson, so. In the past, he's met me in town at lunch.
And Jody's supposed to be in Vegas in
She'll
January.
She'll be in Vegas in January. So.
Okay.
And Leland lives in the doors.
Yeah.
So do you want one letter, and then we get the two people we can and pass it on so it's all in one letter?
It does not have to all be on the same piece of paper. If we have five pieces of paper with one signature each, that should be fine. Mariah, will you verify that?
It's not
an actual required document. And the amendment we did in 2016 for water has absolutely nothing to do with collecting dues. That's why I don't understand what the big deal is. But, and it's always frustrating when you go to a business and you say, I'm coming to McDonald's, I want to buy a Big Mac, and they say, okay, here's a list of qualifications and 20 things you have to do before we're going to sell you a Big Mac. I say, you know what, I like Burger King better. But that's just me.
Just order the Big Mac in the other place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is
that
everything?
For that one item. So the next thing is I just wanted to give an update on the assessments being received, and then the board authorized to use the new credit card processing system, so I just wanted to talk about that briefly, too. I don't have a report on how we're coming out as far as having the convenience fee in comparison to how much we're bringing in, how much our merchant are costing us, but I'll prepare that for next time. But as far as assessments being received, we've probably received at least a third of assessments so far, and I have processed a few through the credit card processing system that seems to be working really well, and I think it's a successful venture so far. It's been well received. Most people are sending in checks that if you're using that system, so I'm hoping that will help encourage others to pay sooner. We don't have enough finance. So that's all I have for that. We've got the first quarter newsletter mailing coming up, and I have a couple of items I'd like to include. I didn't know if it would be an appropriate time to maybe just get a raise of hands that I could follow up with later to get things for that newsletter for the first quarter, just to kind of put it in our mind, get ready for that, and when maybe you'd like to have it sent out.
So March, end of March? Yeah, end of March is the end of the quarter. So if it's going to be the first quarter, it needs to go out by mid-March.
Yeah.
Do we still want to do a newsletter every quarter? If it's something that we really need to continue, September is the point until June, September.
Yeah.
For a newsletter and the announcement. Yes.
Well, I got to think every spring, maybe we ought to make it three times a year we do the newsletter. Spring, when everything's just beginning, like the first part of April, the review, or because I have a few things to talk about as far as our web page and all of that stuff. And that would, but the next one would be, we want to have one, the last one needs to be when we send out the assessment and the budget, all of that. So we're in between those two.
Well, if you do three times a year, then you do one in April, you do one in August, and you do one December.
Well, August would be good, or the very
you're sending one out anyway for the votes.
For the voting, yeah, that's right.
True.
And do we have to send out 6 weeks in advance, or?
I believe so. Somewhere in there.
So it's got to be ready for it by the very end of
July, early August.
Yeah.
So it meets those time requirements. But I think those three would handle it.
Okay, great. Then I'll wait
until
we get closer to April.
Start on us on March, so we get a
time. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
You're going to say something about critical. Well, really critical because of our lack of moisture, no snow cover. Fire is going to be huge, especially because of the fire history in California, everything that's been happening, it's on everybody's minds, but it's so dry out there even right now after this little storm we had a few days ago that it's...
Well, Larry?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to wait till any time. We can put a big, scary, blinking notice on the webpage whenever you want.
Yeah, I think we should put something up. And any communication you have with members, and you can have that on the brain just to say, hey, just so you know, I know you're deciding to go to the ranch and camp this weekend, or you're going to stay in a cabin this weekend.
Yeah.
Fire.
So. Well, I'll get with Brent. We'll cook something up for you guys to review to put on the web page.
Okay, I'll put it on my cabin reservation form.
And in this, okay. And in this first newsletter, we'll talk more about the web page.
Okay. And then if I can just have just a couple minutes to pass some papers to get out from my office.
Where on the agenda is the water hauler complaint?
Oh,
is that online or on yours?
That's
yours. Okay. That's okay. As long as we can remember to make sure we've got this.
This is your reimbursement.
Okay.
Bill, yeah, there's still people from Indiana. They're not building a campfire, I hope.
Well, we're trying to take out every campfire we find. So
they're
if we can build a ring.
Campfires.
And if you tell
us
to send birds, we
take
it off and cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we can track where fires are being put up wherever.
But
we're aware of fresh ones.
Have you talked to any of them?
Not yet.
If you do see them, then inform them that they are not allowed to build fires.
We only saw them once.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that on
Are we going to talk about that somewhere on the agenda?
That could be under rent caretakers report.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, so let's see. What else, Mariah?
That's all. I just have a couple more things to talk about, so I can do that when we move on.
Are we back up and running again?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that fire is going to be a real concern this year out there.
Okay, we're going to move on to item number five, ranch ranch caretakers report. So this will be their first report to us. So if you guys don't like the way they do it, hit them up the side of the face with a wet fish or something.
Okay, so we can all see that.
Oh, well, we just decided that, you know, it seems like that there's, I don't understand that table. It seems like that there was, you know, communication has been an issue, I guess, in the past time. So we decided that we would get two logbooks that we would bring to every meeting like this, and that way you guys can see our activity, you can see what we've got on the ranch, you can see, you know, the problems that we've come across, anything like that, and everything's logged. So, like, this is our activity log in the week that we've been here. That's what we've accomplished. You know, and it just is simple, like, you know, Brett shows how to do the water testing, and then when he teaches us how to do a system, I sit there and write down every step he says so that when we have to do it on our own, there's no questions and we don't have to have somebody there. And so, like the generator, all the stuff that we've learned on the generator, things that we can do, like the oil change and just stuff, that's all these notes. And so, just so you can see what we're doing on our end, like the Kubota, we still need to do the oil change and the grader and stuff like that, the gas and the gas can, and just, you know, just anything that we go over and learn, this is where we log it. And this is our activity log, so that when we come every month, you guys can see what we've accomplished throughout the month, aside from the amount that we sent out.
Okay, a question I have. That'll be accessible to us at a board meeting, maybe before or after. Mm-hmm. But well, I don't want to pile more work on you, but I kind of think electronically.
Well, we used to send out emails. But
okay.
Is that what you mean?
Like before our board meeting. If you are entering this stuff, if you're doing it kind of your same log but electronically, then rather than bits and pieces here and there, because certain things I don't care to keep in my email all the time. You know, some things. But do you do that too, or are you just doing it written?
Well, we just sent out the email, like the all of your day's work, you know, just let you know what we did for the day, you know, just to communicate what we're doing. But we're logging everything so that we can track our activity.
But are you keeping it just on paper?
Just on paper. Because we don't have a computer. We don't have.
But to clarify, Phil, what she's putting there is more instructions on how to do things that we don't necessarily need to know how to start the generator and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Her all in a day's work, they're telling us what they're working on each day, and we can see, okay, they
yeah.
worked with Brent on this and track their activities.
And that
is logical,
like through the emails, but not in a spreadsheet.
Where I see the value, perhaps, especially maybe more so on items of maintenance,
mm-hmm.
would be for you to compile. I mean, there may come a day when one of you has a kidney failure, a heart attack, or whatever, because I know right now you want to live there the rest of your lives, right? But anyway, when somebody else comes, man, if we had in our caretaker's manual that all about the generator stuff, because maybe that piece of paper will get lost. But if we had that in our electronic stuff, wherever Mariah stores things, that's what I'm getting at. Maybe not the mundane.
And what we may want to do is if you'll bring those to the board meeting as far as the steps and procedures, then I can give it to the secretary to either scan them or transpose and type them in electronic format. So
like once we get the computer set up, I can do that very thing. Like, you know,
okay.
or the notes we have on the generator, I can just send it to Mariah if you want me to do that. Like the actual steps on water testing, the steps on the generator, the steps on the Kubota, I can send that all to her. That way you'll have that log.
That would be great.
It would be nice to have just because sometimes then we have to go try to figure something out. And
we're in the position we're in, and we're like, we can't do anything without anybody's help because we don't know what we're doing. Yeah.
My thing
so that's why we're doing
is
it.
That with the equipment, rather than trying to look through logs and logs and logs, what was being done before was each piece of equipment had their own logbook. So all you have to do is pick up a Kubota and say, this is when the last oil change was done. This is the transmission that was fixed on the
They're keeping those logbooks.
But those
are separate.
Yeah,
those are separate.
They're keeping those.
Yeah, okay. Each one, like the gas thing, has, and they'll have a sealed baggie with a book and a pen in every one of them. So you can go to any machine, you'll see any update that we've done, any oil change, any problem. That'll all be
logged.
We just
Thank
don't have the
very
much.
We'll
have the meter. We just didn't know what we needed.
The
hours on the
we appreciate
your This is just so you guys detail. Can see what we've accomplished in the time that we're there. You know, so that you know that we're working, you know, basically. And then we, so there's one for maintenance, and there's one for the cabin. And the cabin thing will be the same thing pretty much. It'll just, so, you know, we'll essentially have the same thing. And there's really no other than, like, winterizing. For unwinterizing, you know, I can send those. We haven't learned that yet, but we will, and that will be in this activity log, you know. But then we do have this notebook that...
We want to log septic when septic tanks
are
drained.
Anything we learn, I'm logging. So any procedure...
When you add
anything we do. Yeah.
Any septic. Yep.
Sure. And then so each cabin will have its different, you know, that means... So we know what's in there prior to somebody stepping into that cabin, and that will keep us in a way to log what's happening in those cabins, you know, the cleanliness of it, the holes that were there, or anything so that somebody else is not being responsible or accused of something that maybe they didn't do but wasn't sure if it was there before or not, you know, just for our peace of mind. So that's, we're going to go through each cabin. We're going to log there's rooms, there's whatever, and then that'll be our knowledge so that, you know, then we can just refer to this, hey, we're changing the sheets in cabin four, we need two twins and a queen, you know, but that's just our idea of keeping ourselves.
Great idea.
Because we're organized people.
That's good because the dates have a tendency to get away from you. When did we do that?
Yeah.
2 years ago or 3 years ago? No, it's really seven, and you kind of go, whoa.
Yeah.
So that is everything that I know the board has asked for before,
well,
and we never got it.
Okay,
so
well, it's okay. Paper for a form, but it's here.
The other thing we plan on doing is when we go into the tool room that's been organized by Aunt Alan, and he did a good job. So you organize it how Alan wanted it organized, and we don't know what he was thinking when he did. And so we're going to do a schematic of the tool room, and then we'll cover some different things and have that in the logbook in hanging on the wall. When we go through, well, in cabin A over here, it's going to have this stuff in it. So we just, if you're looking, anybody can walk in there and look.
So if we
that.
Need an air hose bib, it's going to be on the list, and we
yeah.
can see where
yeah.
it's going to look for.
Immediately where it goes and where to put it back. And then all the air hose, that stuff, generator stuff, will be in the same area. Plumbing will be in its own area. Paint will be in its own area. Whatever. And the tools, all the tools will be in the toolbox. It's not spread from hell to the kitchen.
I'd like you to keep a special logbook in the tool room. Because even if I come down and I borrow a tool from you,
you want to
find
it. Okay.
Say, yeah. Joe took this tool.
Yeah.
Because
I never brought all the other ones back.
I loaned my tools out.
The fire's just growing.
I'm getting too many now at my place, so.
Well, there isn't a great program now, and we can do a DSR on all the, you know, the hand tools and those types of things that, and they'll be on there. So
that's
if you
good.
Go looking for tools, we'll put DSR tool.
I think I mentioned to Brent, I think what I'd like to do, too, is get a can, like a red paint, and every one of our tools.
Like Home Depot does.
Put a little red paint on it, so if you want
that's
to
a good
somebody, they remember which tool is theirs in case they have a duplicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So
exactly
what
Home Depot does on all of their tools.
Pick a color you like. I don't care. Whatever you got in stock.
Yellow.
Pink.
Yellow.
I was saying, I'm with you. So I was going to say, bright pink. That's like fluorescent.
Can we get a logbook of all the logbooks?
That would be a lot of logbooks.
A map.
I draw a line there.
I can't
play
how many tools I loaned out, and I forgot who I loaned them to.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. So, no, it's just little things that we come across. I'm sure there'll be more, but that's just kind of what we've seen
that's,
in the last
I think that's really good.
That don't need to be done. For
not only our piece of mind, but for yours.
So. One of the other things we'd like to do is, you know, it's a big concern for each one of the board members to have their little to-do list of the things that you do as you're over the cabin. And John, I guess, is over the road doing the culverts, and Brad's over the livestock fencing or whatever it is that he's over it. And each of us has our own thing. So what we plan on doing is having kind of a honey-do list. Well, as what you want comes in, we're going to add it to the list. And we'll work on number one and get it complete and done, and then go to number two. But if an emergency arises, that goes to the top of the list. Until it's finished, then we go back to our list. And then I think that will appease everybody, and they'll know that it's all getting done. And as those things come onto those lists, because there's going to be a lot of them, everybody's going to want this and this and this. They'll just go to this number 10 or 11 or 12. But, and I work off a list really, really good. And so, I think all of us do at some point. So, and that's our plan on that, and I think that will appease a lot of the questions and the concerns of all the board members.
Kind of like writing to Santa Claus, right?
That's like the activity log. I'm not sure for that. So when an email comes in, says, hey, can you guys get this done? It'll go in there, and then when it's done, you'll have a check mark by it or something like that. You know, so you guys will.
More than likely, John will probably coordinate most of the stuff and move back up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you I want this done, if it's an emergency, I'll say it's an emergency. But even if I do, check with John. He's going to be in charge of basically which emergency.
Maybe prioritize.
Probably one of the biggest priority.
Prioritizing.
Yeah,
that way you won't feel like you have six bosses all on.
And if water leak develops, that takes priority over everything. So you got to use your own head and your own good fortune.
We both have common sense. That's good.
But it will be really nice to have a list that we can just go to. Because we might need something done, but we don't need it done this month. But if we put it on the list, then we know that eventually it's going to get done. We spent a lot of money on that ranch gate out in the very front, and now it's weathered for 2 years and not been recoated. That needs to be on a list somewhere.
On the list.
Does it have to be done today? No. But should it be on the list somewhere? Yeah.
We're not used to working with people with common sense.
Fair enough. Yeah, we knew that
had
come up, and we know it's on ourselves that needs to be stained or, definitely sealed so that the weather can't be better anymore.
There's
so.
A special stuff that you put on, and it's expensive, but it'll make it yellow again, and it'll keep it looking really nice.
Okay. I have some other concerns. I voiced them on this little thing. I can email it to you, but I'm just going to go over it really quick. It's not really a concern, and it's just a little, some of the cabins need painted, some of the decks need to be redone, sanded, and restained. I think that there's a lot of scrap metal. Now, there's some usable scrap metal that can be repurposed and used for whatever, but there's a lot of crap that can be hauled to your local salvage yard and you guys make money off.
Some of them,
if we have a big enough pile, we'll come and get it. I mean,
yeah, so if we assemble two separate piles of that, if you guys are cool with that.
Like Joe's car, he's left it up there so long.
Motorhome needs to be out of there.
Is that moved yet?
I don't think so.
It's not.
But if you can't tell me whether it is or not, it doesn't matter.
Number eight was the DSR,
not
the wood that they did on that gate, and the new ramp and working off the shop. That all angry steel that falls out. The tack room. You've got like 15 saddles in there that hadn't seen the light of day and who knows when. Now, you got to decide what you want to do with that. There's that dev space in there that hasn't been used. I mean, Brad used some of it for whenever, but he's only used this little bit of space where there's, say, half this office right here with the saddle rack with saddles on it that's not being used. So you got to determine, hey, do we clean them up, try to make it presentable, and try to resell them, or B, let's just call somebody and donate them to someplace and get it a write-off on that tack.
Let's do A first and then B second.
Well, B, just to clarify.
since we're non-profit, we don't pay taxes, so there's no reason to get a tax break.
Okay. I know that.
Yeah, no, I mean, normally in a normal business, you'd want to make contributions because it minimizes the income, but we don't have to. In this situation, we don't have to worry about it.
I will speak to those battles. I would write. I mean, there's the saddles that are in there were for the dude business that they've had that's been there for as long as I've been here. Those saddles have been in there, and they've not been oiled, and so there's going to be some suspect billets and latigos and stuff on that that are just going to have to be money putting in there to make them. So I think we do very little expenses on the saddle and eliminate, you know, everything that is junk.
I have a thought when you talk about clean them up a little bit. Maybe at our annual meeting auction, maybe someone likes
perfect.
That look.
They're more for decoration.
For decoration for people at Deer Springs Ranch, they'd like to have a saddle just out there, you know, and we might get a little bit of money for them, and that way we help both things. Clean it out, and the ranch gets to use that stuff.
And we could, you know, we in December, Alan took out a main beam in the barn. You know, so if you got a heavy snow lab, that real quick kicked in. We replaced that main beam with a big telephone pole we found down the field and cut it and dug it deep and stuck it in there so that the
stable.
Very stable. But, you know, with that extra space being gone, I've seen a great big metal beam out there, big I-beam you can put across there and hold the bearing weight up.
Not have the pole right in the middle.
Not have the pole and put two tractors in there, maybe the backhoe and the Kubota. You know, and use the stakes instead of not use the stakes.
Oh, before I forget,
do you have my wife's email
address? Yeah, we
think we've
done
her
on all of the emails.
Yeah,
my
brand new phone. Yeah. Does anybody have any feelings with some of the old tack that's in there?
I think we ought to. If we're definitely, and we probably aren't going to get back in the horse riding business,
if we do,
I
wouldn't put the grandkids on a lot of that stuff that's in there.
Yeah.
It's really low quality saddles.
No big butt saddles in there.
Just some big buck saddles. One
buck.
Wow,
there is.
Stay away from that.
We have three of our own saddles in there, so we'll pull them out. We're going to be doing this, so it doesn't matter. But I want you to know
so,
three saddles that are good in there
are. I personally own maybe.
I don't sell those.
I like the idea that Candy had about at the annual meeting.
You know, some of them, some people would use, like the plastic saddles. I just wouldn't have one of those. But some people like them. They're really lightweight. The kids, you get on them and ride around the yard and do whatever with on there. And so somebody might want one of those and be able to use it. So let's try to sell them.
Now, I know how to clean them up. I'm a little bit of an expert in it. So.
And I'll show you exactly which ones are not mine.
Okay.
Okay. I know how to sell them. I'll sell Brad's. I like to sell Brad's.
Anything else on your list?
There is a few more, but that's the most, the biggest thing. One of the other things we did notice is in the cabins. Every year there's screens that are broken. People are getting in there, especially in July where it's hot. And they want to open their window, and there's no screen on there, and every kind of critter comes in there at night. And we'd like to, you know, keep cleaning the cabins and do channels through all the windows, pull them out, clean them, replace the screens in, get them out, fix them. We'll try to fix them first. And so all the cabins, the windows that do open, have a
screen.
And we'll put a screw in them on the outside. They cannot remove those screens. And we'll put a note. This screen does not remove.
How many screen doors did we buy? Two or three?
Two.
Yeah, I bought two screen doors. But I don't want you to put them up until I get up there because I bought the cheaper ones. They don't have a bar across the top and the bottom. So mice can get in. So what we need to do is we need to buy some 1x1 square tubing, 20 foot thick of it. And then when I come up, we'll cut the pieces and put them in place. And then we can hang the doors.
Okay.
But until then, we won't be able to And the only other thing I have is you have, like, there's two containers. There's a container for the solar, which has a bunch of crap in it inside. And then there's the big container, and we're understood that's the washer and dryer and the container that we could store some extra stuff in it. Is that true or not true?
True. The new laundry room?
No, the new laundry room.
No, not the laundry shack.
Not the
container
out
back.
It was where the
40-foot container
that
was purchased to become the laundry room that never became the laundry room.
Okay. So there's the washing machine and the dryer that's out there, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. And then one of it's a big cabinet, like an old fridge, and inside that is some really dangerous chemicals stacked on top of each other in 5-gallon drums, which seems a little dangerous to me. Five gallons.
I think we should identify what we should be keeping or not.
Well, Brent says that stuff got on his shoes, on a pair of leather shoes with steel toe boots, and it ate all the leather off down to the steel. He couldn't get his foot out of it fast enough before it ate it.
What is the chemical and why do we have it?
Hydrochloric acid or what?
It's like a Clorox bleach that's highly concentrated.
Plutonium. I remember an email about that. Yeah, that's the one we're doing the
case. This summer?
It's Clorox.
It's from the tank cleaner.
And so inside that container, there's a big chemical smell. And we've got a gas dryer in there.
That don't
go completely cool with me. So we got to figure something out in there.
Well, the only reason that stuff got put in there and then that thing, I think Paul got that for a smoker. He's going to build a smoker out of that metal thing. Is it's insulated.
Yeah.
And so the paints and all that, he stacked them all in there and put it in there. So it's insulated. So those paints aren't going to freeze. And so anything that's good in there, you should be able to still use. And that's why it's all together. It doesn't have to be in there. It could be somewhere else. It could be in the shed, the tool room, whatever.
I mean, if we don't need the chemical, let's get with the state and find out if we can get rid of it legally, because I don't want to just dump it and have the rain carry it downstream. So it's got to be done properly.
But if it's for cleaning the water tank.
I don't think what he's talking about is for cleaning. We ended up with very little of the chlorine left because we thought we were going to have to order more.
Yeah.
And so maximum that we've ever had of that chlorine stuff is 1 5-gallon bucket. Anything else?
And that was the chlorine that they ever issued.
Yeah, I know he spilled some on him, but that's, I don't think that's
what you're talking about predates any of our cleaning stuff from this.
So I didn't identify anything in there, anything of value in them.
We're not opposed to getting rid of stuff that we don't need or don't want.
Or old. Exactly. We'd like to keep decluttering. So do you guys have your phone working out there well enough to make calls?
The calls are a little – I think that once we get the computer set up and can set up Skype,
then we can
make phone calls that
like
way.
To an agency that might do the – come and get these chemicals or something.
Maybe we should have Mariah.
You can identify what the chemicals are to the best of your ability. Let me know and I'll take it from there.
Okay. Sure.
All right, great.
Yeah,
and the last thing I have is we'd like to get certified in chemicals so that we can buy big quantities of the chemicals to spray after we brush off.
I thought we were already doing that.
We are.
We want you to.
We can.
Okay. And I'm signed up to take the water certification course in February. I thought I was going to be able to do it on my own, but I got the study materials and it's. So it's February, the end, last week in February and the first couple of days of March. I'm signed up to do it and take the test. $400 for the class and $100 to take the test, but I think it's probably worthwhile if we can squeeze it in while things are, but it's down here in St. George and it's Tuesday through Saturday.
Do you want us to take that as well?
I'm throwing that out to you guys.
I would think it'd be beneficial for you and for the ranch to have you do it if time allows.
I'm in favor of it.
And I think so too. When is it again?
It's the last week in February.
So it won't interfere with the guests and everything. So
no, it's well before the season starts.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on attending and taking the test, but who knows? In September, I might get voted off, and then
then I'm going to pout and not ever go out there again. So, so bottom line,
so
I can
you register that?
I think I can register you if
everybody
if
favor
everybody's
that?
Okay.
Aye. Okay, we're all in favor of that.
I'll talk to you a little bit about it after the meeting just to get any information I need, but I'll get you registered for it.
Yes, that'd be good personnel.
Okay.
And you're following through with the chemical? With
yeah.
That?
That's
simple,
that's,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Monday thing. You just come over here and get a book, read through it.
And then you want the money and have your name on the list.
Pay $20 and away you go.
I have one last thing for these guys. How are we going to keep track which fill is which fill?
Yeah, I got two L's.
If you're going to go by the two L, and I'll be the one. All right.
You're going to start when you call them.
Hey, Phil. This is Phil. Oh, Phil?
Phil.
All right. Call him Philip.
I've been calling him Philip so there wouldn't be a confusion.
And we call him Philip a lot at our house, so
they call me a lot of other things, too, but we don't bring him up.
Well, you still come to him for him.
Yeah.
All right. Are
well,
we done
I
then with Pod?
I don't know if you are aware of the fact there was some issues with the transmission in the ranch truck.
Yeah, today.
Okay. Joe talked to Mariah. Mariah has information where we bought it in St. George, but there's a possibility there's no warranty because it's over a year.
Yeah, I think there is. I think I remember them saying that.
But there's something that needs to be looked at.
So you drove here in a truck?
The Ranch 4 truck. We did the oil change and filter last night.
But is it in shape to take you home?
Yeah, we are. We thought
it
Rachel thought
it wouldn't come out of low gear.
As long as
You better have a check before you leave.
I was
we'll figure that out.
Driving down the road.
Don't leave town without checking out.
I was
in St. George that truck.
My foot was on the gas, and then all of a sudden there was no gas going.
Do you know where we have it repaired before?
We'll find out.
Okay. I have an old truck. I mean, it's
fast transmission.
Well, you don't need air conditioning right now.
Transmission.
If, say you have to leave that truck.
We have to redo it.
You could take that truck and then exchange
it. What if we have to redo it?
I said if it's not covered by warranty, the best transmission shop is Dave's transmission.
We're planning on staying here till Monday so that we could check out that certification class and get signed up for it so that we could settle it. And then we'll head back Monday morning. So
we'll also get time to do the truck.
We'll figure out what's going on with that.
Sounds great.
And you had some issues with the solar? Is that kind of coming together now?
Well, that basically the way that Brent described it is we're using two different companies. So he's like, the correspondence between your solar panels and the system that's out there, which is what you can rely on, but what's in the house is a different brand, and so it might not relay the same. So we're freaked out in the house, like, oh, no, we're just walking around with headlamps and lanterns because, you know, it's dropping below the percentage that you would like it at, and I just think it's not the case. I just think that there's maybe an issue with our reader because it's a bright sunny day. We don't ever use anything electronic, so there's no it doesn't make sense as to why it drains an hour into the evening of having one light on in the house. So we're not sure yet.
Where do they go? What do we do?
Well, Brent's still checking, so
he's working on it. I know one thing he talked about was the standard generator that we buy doesn't run exactly the same to be able to plug into our solar system to charge it. Not accepting that it blows the circuit. So we have
the same thing.
If we wanted to buy an independent generator that's right there at the house so we could just fire it up and it'll charge up our batteries and run the ranch house or whatever, then that's fairly expensive. I think he said that, I don't know if he was guessing, but so the thing is
$5,000. But he needs between a 3,000 and 4,000 watt generator.
The average cheap generator is on a square wave or a modified wave.
Right.
And it won't go in sync with the other generator.
Right.
So you have to have a continual.
But that's something that we should consider because I know through history that they have run that big generator, the big diesel, a lot just simply to charge their batteries. So maybe we should have something.
Well, I think we should solve that problem right now.
Less expensive that they can just fire up right at the ranch house and they don't have to run the big generator if all they're doing is if they're pumping or they want to fire up all the cabins, and that's different, you know. But
can I jump in here for a second?
Absolutely.
This is my favorite subject. Is the yellow diesel generator to 10 kW, is it still around out there?
Last time I had it checked, Paul took it somewhere, and they said it was not repairable.
Oh, man, I don't buy that for a second. That's a hardly used good generator just sitting there somewhere, I don't know where.
Do you know, Philip, if you've seen any generators?
Unless located, send it out again.
It
gets
really muddy, so we haven't.
It's a yellow diesel generator.
I don't think, I kind of remember some of the chatter about that time, and whoever it went to, I don't think it ever came back to the ranch. It was, the story was it's unrepairable.
That's what I heard.
And whether
we haven't seen any.
Paul did away with it or the person kept it for repairs, but I'm kind of with Vance. I think that's
it's still milk now this time.
Yeah, if we can find it or find out what the deal is, it's great. If not,
what you guys are describing is exactly what we bought it for and exactly what it used to do until it didn't get used for a long time and just sat there without the fuel being drained out of it and went south.
But it's a mute point if we don't know that we have it.
Yeah, I know. That's
do you
what
know
that's
that expensive, how much they cost, Vance?
Oh, geez, it was, like you say, it's a nice, it's a diesel. We bought it, and I'd have to go back and find it. We had some initial issues trying to get it to sync with the inverter charger, but when we finally did, it worked like a champ, and we actually had it in the container with the batteries and the exhaust piped out the side. It was a really sweet setup.
Okay, so here are our choices. One, we look for and try to identify whether we have it or not. Or we still do that, and maybe we really try to zero down what money do we have left over, and start pricing the kind of generator we want. I think actually we should do all of those things.
On eBay, 10-kilowatt diesel generators run anywhere from $3,900 to $2,000 to $4,000 to $5,700. Mm-hmm. So you're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $5,000 for the generator you're looking for.
Another thought, financially wise, if I can interject.
Yes.
In our savings account, you had mentioned, could we kind of allocate maybe some of the big spending items that we might need to replace from time to time and give money towards those? So I set up a spreadsheet to kind of help us divide that out. So if it was all acceptable, the way that this money was divided, we do have headquarters generator as something that will need to be replaced. And we have been saving towards that.
Is that the headquarters big one out in the field?
I think this is a big one, so we would be losing our money there. But we have about $3,000 set aside in behalf of that generator for replacement or for...
Well, we're going to have to repair at least and possibly replace that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As of the last few days.
Which is the very most important thing that we can possibly do right now.
We cannot survive without
that. Make sure that that one's operational and running, period. But I think second gear, we should make the purchase of the second one. It'll take hours off of the big one and make it last longer.
The problem with the big one right now is that it has been overused and abused for years. For this, what the smaller generator would take over for, the big one has been used in excess and not maintained. And, I mean, Bill and Art both told me that the oil in it was like tar. So I have no idea when the last time it was changed.
Well, Brent showed us that. Well, basically showed us some tricks. He comes up, and any time in the wintertime or it's cold out there, it's going to look sludgy when you hold it in the dipstick, and it's going to look like that. So what you do is, before you start it, you got to take the cap off, put your finger down there, and pull up what's out of the top side of it. And if that's not slimy, it's not slimy down there. So go ahead and set that off, make sure you got oil, start it up. It runs about 15,
get some heat
20 minutes, seconds or whatever, get some heat, try it again, and then it's liquefied, it doesn't look sludgy. So when we get, we do the oil, we drain it all out of there, and then heat pour some diesel fuel just a little bit, flush it down through it, flushed it, seal back everything up, we took off the filter and dumped that, and put a brand new filter on it, and brand new oil in it, and we bought an air filter because we couldn't find one on the shelf in the ranch, and then around the generator, we found another one in a box just sitting there.
Do you use any synthetic oil in your diesel?
I don't.
Any reason why not?
I used to years ago, and then I just got lazy trying to find it and keep it on hand. And
the reason I ask is motor oil is like a sponge to water. Motor oil will absorb moisture and get thick. Synthetic oil will not. So you can go, instead of going 4,000 miles on motor oil, you can usually go 12,000 miles on synthetic oil. So you can only have to change the oil in that big generator.
And the cost isn't that big a difference.
You have to only change the oil twice a year. But once you go to synthetic, you can never, ever add.
You can't cross over or mix them.
So you have to change all the filters, drain them all out, clean everything out, and go synthetic. Then you got to stay with that.
That was the main reason that I haven't, is because then you're stuck. You can't mix or match.
But if I find antifreeze that you can't put water in, you can't add it. So you got to have that antifreeze. But we can always keep it all 2 years supply in stock. There's no reason we can't buy, 40 gallons that last 2 years.
Now, didn't you say there's a 55-gallon drum of the motor oil
inside the
virtually full? I mean, it's a
and then the more times that it's below the water level, you can light up those batteries. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you've got to replace them again.
Okay, Barry, we got you back.
Can you hear me?
I'll buy one.
Yep, I hung up my cell phone, so you're good.
Okay, all right. We're about ready to move forward, Beth. Do you have any other advice on that generator?
Well, it was quite expensive, and it was a good unit. I just don't know what keeps happening to it. You know, I know it might not have been the easiest thing in the world to fix, but, I just keep bringing it up because it's just so, we just don't know where it is and what it is, and it's just money down the drain if we can't.
Yeah, we're good at that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I think looking at the budget, knowing that you paid already for the new panels and all the stuff that's over, I think something should be done in terms of a timeline. When are you going to install everything new that you bought from Gentry or Karen Fry? We have all that new solar equipment specifically for the ranch house. We have not installed it yet. It's sitting there.
I thought for Grant the other day about when we said we were going to do it.
When it dries out.
Yeah, he said we were all going to go out there.
Go out. It's great. He's going to pull the slick little one that's been on there for 12 years and pulling my stuff, cracks them. We're going to keep the other six that are up there and add the refrigerated containers.
I didn't know it wasn't already done.
I didn't either. I thought it was done.
It was just the poles and
all that
thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Postman and burger.
But, I mean, we have it. Those should be installed. That should be one of the first priorities to get the ranch going.
So, I would like to get a report back if you've been able to do it or not, for sure. But
yeah.
So, at the next board meeting, report on that.
Okay. Anything else?
I have one thing I found about the truck. This would be a good time. It was taken care of at Ken Garth. We had it hauled in. They thought it needed transmission warranty work, but it turned out that's not what the problem was. I don't have any more information than that, but that's where it was. So transmission warranty work was to Ken Garth.
Ken Garth.
It's St. George Ford. They bought it in St. George.
Knocked down or...
I wouldn't take it back there.
I thought they put in a transmission.
They did, and then they had trouble, so they took it back thinking it was the transmission. So they took it back to them to have the warranty work done on it, and it turned out it wasn't the transmission. It was something different.
I see.
And so we didn't know. That was in December of 2016. Well, that was in December of 2016. Yeah, it must be. I don't have any receipts prior to that to know when we had it.
Okay.
If there's warranties, then that's a different thing. But if not, then I take it to St. George Transmission out here on Bluff Street. They do transmissions, and everybody I've talked to, they do a great job. So
yeah, I better check it out.
Are they open today? I'll tell you.
I have one thing on my list. There are many electrical open outlets all over the inside of that cabin. And we are not electric.
The ranch house?
Yeah, yeah, the ranch house.
Open outlets. You mean not a cover?
You mean no face plates, right?
There's a light that was supposed to be installed there, and instead they just left all the open wires sitting there and never put a light in there. So there's open.
And you're like.
You're not confusing the gas.
No, they're electrical outlets, and there's many of them. There's one everywhere.
And there's one, even like white light switches on the wall, like right before you go up the stairs. There's this one right here that we haven't figured out anything, but
all
everything
that stuff
is
up there. I didn't dare touch it.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to the
wire. Totally, but he can handle that with the wireless.
Well, I think when the things are redone and painted by Alan and Peta, because I had asked about that, I saw them in the ceiling. Why is that? Like, well, we haven't put anything up there yet.
He took them off and they put them in the tool shed.
So there is something around.
That's what Daddy did with them, and we've got a thorough look.
I think we're going to find the light covers. I have no idea where he did it.
We bought new ones.
I mean, obviously you can see that we've been through most of the places, and we have not come across anything.
So,
we need to hire an electrician.
But we need to be taught. We need to do it.
Oh, Brent?
Well, Brent can show them on one. They can do the rest. Larry can show them when he comes up next time, and so can I.
We're going to have to be where?
In the room cabin?
No,
the
rent out.
Well, in case
blue water bottles everywhere. But they got pretty bad in the last year before. When they were checking out on the property,
they leave the trash.
They pooped everywhere.
Yeah, we don't clean it.
We don't have to go back to that. That was fun.
Yeah.
They're supposed to bury it. They don't even do it.
Campfires. So
they did it in a bag. But
we know where they are.
Okay, what are the stipulations? You may pass through county roads. And property.
I think it just needs to be a cautionary thing of.
Do not have our permission to camp, make fires, or recreate on DSRA.
And again, what they bring in, they must bring out.
And
trash.
You know, it is our grazing permit, a lot of that ground that they do camp on, and so. We can be concerned about fires, and we could tell them that we have some concerns about the dryness of the area, and be careful. And reiterate that they be careful with their.
On BLM land in close proximity. Respect that we remove trash.
Pack a litter box.
Postings of fire permission or not, or whatever.
Water in place, if we have water drops, is that something we need to bring up?
That you do not anticipate retreating. Not anticipated. Must provide water resources and or sanitation bathroom. All human waste would certainly be back in we're buried 6 feet deep.
read up
that list, everybody adds to it, and then they're buried and put in place.
Okay, so the rest is that we may not pass through on county roads or BLM roads. Or on Gears Freak.
They can pass.
Oh, you may. Excuse me. You may pass through on county roads and or BLM roads and Gears Springs property.
No.
What do I have?
Although you may pass through on county roads and BLM property.
I'll redraft it into a letter form because it comes to me. I think they'll take it a little bit more serious on my letterhead. So just go through the list of what you've got. And then email it to me.
Is there a contact person that they should go to on the board?
And we request that the official contact person should be have noted violations of the rectified
report. I'm sending a letter so I can have them just respond to me if they have any questions or concerns.
But I just think that way it's not a bit of a who's contact when there's a problem.
Right. Do we have a contact person?
And that was the other
thing. That's what we're going to ask for.
No, these say
with their staff.
With Wingate. For us to contact Wingate, we should have somebody that we're working with.
I can ask
these guys aren't picking up the crap out here.
My son
or they just stole their cow
head
off of the thing that I've been watching and let it rot out, you know. I actually took one back. I found their pile, and they had my cow head on one of their piles that their truck was going to come pack out.
I have a question when I get a chance.
Wait, there's a question. Go ahead. What was that?
Yeah, I can't hear everything that's going on there, but you're discussing Wingate and them being on our property and BLM property, which some of ours, we think of ours is BLM.
Go ahead.
This is my question. I know that we cannot, we have to let them to use our roads to go through to get on BLM property. I realize that we can't stop that and what have you. And also they can camp on BLM property even though it's right in the middle of our ranch. But this is the question. Sometimes they build fires and I've seen them build them in places they shouldn't. Since we have a BLM lease, do we or do we not have any right at all to tell them to put them out and stop them from it? You know, I'm in charge of safety, and I see that as a dangerous thing. I've gone out at 2 o'clock in the morning and seen some of these people with big bonfires when they shouldn't be there. And that's my question. Do we have any right at all?
We don't. It's multiple use. The land is multiple use. And so we just have the grazing rights, which is what we're over. But there's multiple use for all of us because we're all BLM owners. And they have a right as multiple use owners to camp on BLM. They have whatever limitations the BLM put on them.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't mean that we can't indicate that we're concerned with the safety issue of having fires near the ranch and see if we can't minimize that. So,
yeah, well, that's my concern. They have a right to burn our ranch down, and nothing we can do about it because of stupidity. Because those guys are all very young, and very honestly, Wingate rehires people who've been out there, been in trouble before, to be out there in charge of them, and they're only maybe a step above the ones that are there, that they're trying to help there. Maybe a step above, but they're all being buddies, and you know how that is. You have to be, if you're a boss, you got to be a boss, and you're not necessarily can be a buddy. But anyway, okay, I'll shut up. That was my question.
All right, thank you, John. Okay, then we have to
you're gonna email me your notes, and then I'll draft the letter, and then I'll send it back to everybody to review. But then I'll sign it and send it directly, asking them to identify who their contact person is, letting them know that if they have an issue, they need to contact me, and outlining our expectations as to what they do or can't do on ranch property and BLM property nearby.
And a finger email.
I think it is helpful that anytime any of us have any interaction with them, if you see their group on the road, which I see them all the time hiking back and forth, to at least make them aware, or the leader of their group aware, that, you know, we're kind of watching them.
Maybe we could prepare, Mary, along with what we sent them, maybe a copy of your letters and that, but they would have a copy of it, and just print it, and you can hand those to leaders.
And you'll find it in toilet paper.
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to put something together, but I don't know.
It's just coming from whatever caretaker, whatever, if they want to just...
This is our expectations.
And we get a copy of the letter to Phil and Rachel to have with them when they're driving around, and just say, hey, yeah, we can do that.
Because the little man may not have.
Then, yeah, you won't get that attitude problem. Their company knows.
Usually those leaders have been pretty good to work with their livestock.
Okay, so are we done with the ranch caretaker's report and all that?
Other than one thing, just a small thing, not a big deal. $80 for me and Rachel to get a shirt and two hats. We like that, like a uniform that we can wear around and represent the ranch.
I think we give you whatever shirts and hats you need. Yeah, you're going to wear those shirt while you're working. Absolutely.
You can only wonder about one shirt.
Get our trailer
out. I guess I have one more comment.
Again?
That's three. One more comment.
You got to give up a hat or a shirt.
I give up, Paul. I don't know if you know from the previous emails we've talked about Joe a little bit with the ant problem and shower problem. The shower is moldy and just bad. We show a brand, you agree, it's just bad, Jill. It's slant, so the water goes out and not into the drain and out onto the floor, which is going to ruin the brand-new sinking counter that's in there, and that's amazing. Well, it's great. We propose to remove the wall. It's not a bearing wall. It's even removed easy, and we can do it, and put a shower bath unit right here. I can't show this right in the couch right there on the top picture. We could put that in that unit, remove the door where it's at, put it in the door that's going into that little alleyway where the washer and dryer used to be. There's already plumbed. It's already got a drain. It's an easy deal to do.
Joe's the one that's over that, and he makes his decision, and he says do it. So.
Well, we do have a picture of that. We have full pictures, but we do have one picture.
We have one picture of the area that needs to be left.
So instead of the doorway being, you walk through that threshold of the kitchen, and there's a threshold there, and then that's the opening. There's holes in the ground where the plumbing was, and then there's a bathroom door right there. So we'll just take that bathroom door off and put it right there at the kitchen. So there will be a door, and then that wall will be removed.
I think you got to go ahead to get it done.
Okay, got to get it done.
What about the ants? They're carpenter ants.
Now we spray it with all the ants. We got to have
maybe the ants
there.
Ants can put the cabinet down.
It might be able to happen.
I didn't know it's carpenters.
Well, what we were talking about is removing that whole unit shower that's obviously bad. We've got to repair the floor there because of the mold and the damage. And that's no problem, but we're going to, like the closet, the size of the shower that was on, the old one there itself, from the linen or whatever, and that would take care of that space right there. But
that would be
we're just going to put shelves just in front
of the
She wants to have a sprayer to spray the ants so they don't.
Yeah. Well, we're probably going to have to re-rock it because it's probably got water damage there. So
we can do that.
Okay. Get her down.
Okay, that's it. One more thing?
Yep. One more thing.
Everything you said about him, Brad, you were right.
Unfortunately, the battery's running low, so it's plugged into Mariah's computer, so that is about as far as it will go.
Hey, John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to move now to item number 6. Replacement of board member Jody Ankers, treasurer. So now I will take up nominations for her replacement. And I know that Joe had said earlier he would like to make a nomination.
I'd like to nominate Larry Sims. This is Larry Sims, in case nobody doesn't know, sitting here to my right. I'd like to nominate him to replace Jody.
And if we need to, I don't know, we have to have a second or just nomination.
This is just a board decision for an appointment. And the board has the right to appoint whoever they want, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so I propose that we do this in the executive session and then notify Larry.
It's fine to be on the regular meeting. It's for all the members, so. This is being recorded, so we're not doing anything.
I think, first of all, I maybe should have said, are we in agreement that we are prepared at this time to make a replacement for Jody? How many would say they are?
I have one concern, and the concern that I have is that it's been voiced to me by members, not just board members, but members, that we are not following.
We're in the here and now, and it's following regulations now. So, if you're safe from members, it doesn't matter at this time.
And it has been done like this before because I was appointed when
There is precedence, and I think it's not
Well, I think we have every right to do whatever we want here. Don't get me wrong. I just wanted to voice all of that, and so everybody was aware of what was going on because I think your safe from members does matter.
I was appointed my first time by open open board meeting.
Okay, so with that, then, let's keep moving forward here. So are you in favor of us having a vote to replace the board member now?
Anybody else have any appointees?
And no. After you answer that question, no, you're not in favor.
No, I'm okay to go ahead. I just wanted to
discuss
a few things. But
all right. Dan, are there any other nominations?
Are there things you want to bring up and discuss that you just don't think should be discussed in an open meeting that's more?
Well, some people aren't comfortable with their names coming out. And so that's why I would prefer to discuss that in an executive meeting. But I can count, guys, and I can see I'm way outvoted on this. So let's just move forward.
Okay. Yeah, we're all ready to.
I have no other nominations, and I talked to Larry, and I don't have any concern with him as far as filling a board seat.
So are there other nominations? Other nominations? John, do you have any other nomination?
No, I do not.
Seeing that there are no other nominations, then by acclamation, I believe it's proper to
make a motion, or that we just.
The only thing I would want to make a motion that just clarify for Larry's purposes, when you're appointed to the board, then it's to fill until the next election, and then you'll be up for election, re-election like everybody else. So, yeah, but since there are no other nominations, then.
So, all in favor?
That was like a very tough election.
You have to leave.
All in favor of the nomination, let's just clarify.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So I think we can take up in the next meeting concerns that we have from those folks.
One clarification that I think we also still need to do is Jody vacated the position as treasurer, and we need to make, I know we discussed it in the last meeting, but we need to make her replacement official there as well.
What did we decide in the last meeting?
Well, that Joe's going to take over.
Take over the position, but that we need to have Mariah. She's the one that knows the QuickBooks.
And that we agreed to add time to Mariah.
Add time to her.
We were able to pay her more for her request.
I think as a kind of area of clarification, that's really traditionally what the hired secretary. Not the secretary in the board.
Jody did a lot more work than any previous board treasurers have ever done. So we're really going back to what happened before.
So
not taking it away from you, but
if you're keeping track of your hours and this is taking more hours, then we want to pay you more.
I think we already agreed that she gave us a proposal, actually, of approximately how many more hours.
36, although I would like to comment, since I've had time in training with Jody, she's been very thorough in what she does prepare. And I've looked through that list. I don't think I need full 36 hours. I think I would need 30.
I think we all trust you enough and know your thoroughness and your attention to detail, but we're going to put it on you to say we want you to do the job. We want you to do it right. We want you to be compensated correctly. We're not afraid you're going to run away with the budget.
So we can stipulate a number, or if you want to average your time the next quarter and then see what you're agreeable to, or if you want to accept or not accept your proposal of 30.
I think at this point, looking over it, there's going to be times of the year, especially when we get to the second half of the year, where that time is going to be greatly increased because of what happens. Obviously, we get to the budget time, we get to all of that. So in the beginning of the year, I think it's going to average out over a full year. So calculating hours for first quarter, second quarter. So I would propose, after reading through it, looking at all the things, and I've got her list, if any of you want to review it and everything that she has done, I think it's beneficial to keep everything she's done. I don't think there's anything that's a waste of time, but I do feel like 30 hours is a reasonable amount of time. For me, already being in the book, I think if someone else, I can completely pay 36 hours for a board member to spend a month trying to get this taken care of. So,
but maybe there was.
I would entertain a motion that we accept her proposal.
As modified from the 36 to the 30 hours.
Yeah, so. Still figuring on just based on what I'm being paid now, which is approximately $10 an hour, so an additional $300.
I make a motion that we approve
approximately $10 an hour for 30 hours and ask that you just keep us informed if it goes significantly up or down, but that we approve that.
I second that. Third, fourth, fifth. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Favor,
Joe? Yeah, I said aye.
Barry, there was, I was going to bring that up too. Jody was Facebook page. Joe's not a real internet. He doesn't do Facebook. That is
Brad's pretty big fan.
When we discussed last meeting, and Phil was taking over Facebook stuff with the internet and website and stuff.
So that needs to be changed up here.
Yeah, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. That's Mariah's agenda, so we just need to change that.
I would like to talk about that in the last agenda. Larry's still going on. That's where we're at.
Been put in.
That's it.
He had to go with one R to match his brother. I had to go with two R's to match my brother.
So it felt very well. Did Larry vote for?
No.
Did you say aye, Bear? From Ryan?
Otherwise, you're off the board.
Yeah, you're officially on the board now. So,
would you like to take this seat now? I can take that one over there.
Okay, we really need to keep moving on, or we're starting to fall like a half hour behind now.
The jackhammer guy may come back.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to turn the time over to Barry for items. Real quick.
I'm going to run through a few things just really quickly. As far as updates, sanitary survey was submitted. The state of Utah discussed and decided that we have to submit our water samples when we're doing repeat samples as opposed to new samples a little differently. So when you guys do water samples, make sure you talk to me so I can tell you which X to check on the form. The repeat sample or the normal scheduled samples you're doing, you already know how to do those. So I only need to be contacted if there's a problem and we're doing and we test positive, then we'll need to talk.
Okay.
Otherwise, that's going well. The next thing is, and Mariah will have to clarify because I haven't had any calls to me directly, but multiple members have called and expressed discontent that they're now being billed for hauling water, which I don't know why they're upset. We haven't changed anything. We simply sent them notice of what they were already supposed to be paying. We know that some of them have not been paying in the past, but in an effort to treat everybody fairly and the same, I don't know what we can do other than tell them either pay for hauling water or don't haul water.
I would agree with that.
Do you have any insight on who and what?
Yes. Brent didn't tell us everybody, but a couple of the members that I do know that have expressed concerns. One was Mr. Terry Morrison spoke with Brent. I don't have any information on that.
He's the one that bought Fred Cyril's lot.
Okay.
Does he have a well?
Yes, he does, but only produces 50 gallons a day.
I didn't want to make a decision one way or the other. I'm uncomfortable giving a discount or saying we'll waive something without the board being involved in deciding. And I don't.
It's in the
rules.
Yeah. And it's been that way for some time. And
the only thing that's not
in the rules and regs is something that we can change and vote on. So is there a limit? I mean, if they're coming there and camping for the week and they want water, do we charge them water fee?
All the people that we're talking about are annual. I pay one payment a year, and I get use of water through the year. Whether they actually call it or
not. It's not agricultural or
it's
water
in
your lawn.
It's purely, so like Jody didn't have a water source at her cabin. So she paid $50 a year, and she hauled it up. The problem is there are some people that have been hauling for a long time that I'm not sure have ever gotten a bill, and they're now saying, wait a second, why do I have to pay for this? And their justification a little bit is, I have a water right, so I should be able to just get water wherever I want, and that's not how it works.
We pump the water, so we have a single
thing.
There's a lot of facts. I don't know if it's a matter of explaining or if it's just a matter. I mean, my response is, if you haul water, that's
the fee. If you don't want to haul water, then you don't have to pay the fee, but I don't know anything else to do.
We could possibly send a letter, you know, saying...
could be in the newsletter.
Or it could be in the newsletter.
That's where these all came from, was it was included in the initial newsletter. I noticed that here's your bill for your water, and that's why we started getting the complaint.
Should we respond individually with a letter that goes, the same letter goes to all of them?
We can't.
Basically, like you were just saying, you know, that this has been the policy. It may not have been enforced, blah, 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 but we don't have to cost the profit, blah, okay. So it's itself, this is more than reasonable.
The only difficulty with that is I'm not sure we know who all is unhappy. They've all talked to Brent, and some of them, and I don't know.
Send Brent a letter, and he can...
I asked Brent. The only thing he gave me was remorse.
Okay. I have Michael Andrews and Mary Shriver. They own lot 285, and then Steve McElroy. But he's a little different situation.
He's going
he's
to hook up
to the system. Uh-huh.
Oh
so
yeah. Have we not been billing for those hookups?
I don't think
$200 or whatever. A year.
His voicemail message to me said that he does not use water on his place, even though he is hooked up to the system. Paul would go and read the meter, and it would say zero, so he did not pay. Says he has never seen or signed an agreement to pay a base rate.
I think he did sign
a agreement. We did have an agreement. Says if there's a standby fee, he's never been made aware of it. He just wants to understand where we're at now.
We need to find in our files, because when we did that water system, and those people gave him opportunity to sign up for it.
The standard water agreement they were supposed to sign, it's kind of crappy, but it said you pay $5,000 for the hookup, and then you pay a use fee, and I don't remember what it was, $30 a month, or a standby fee of $20 a month. And they all should pay it or cut their pipe. I mean, I don't know.
That's exactly right.
I don't know how to deal with that nicely.
That's just the way it is. The way it was. And if he says he does it on their signing and everything, we need to look for our records and hopefully find those.
Well, just like with any utility, whether he signed it or not, it's something that's how, in order for us to treat everyone fairly. So what I would suggest is I put together a letter response just saying this is how it is and this is what it's going to be, and let me know if you decide you don't want to haul water or whatever and go from there.
Did they pay like $5,000 in the beginning?
Yeah, according to the agreement, I don't know. I wasn't involved, so I don't know.
The ones that were supposed to hook onto that system.
Were supposed to pay. Yeah, that was to help. And then the non-standby, the ongoing, was to help defray the cost of maintaining
that. So I don't have any idea who's actually paid or not paid, but the agreement required them to pay a hookup fee.
I got a question on that. Why don't you have a comment or statement? They pay $5,000 to hook up. I kind of disagree with $30 a month.
I'm going off the top of my head. I don't remember.
I think you're right, though. But I disagree with that because I haul water and I pay $50 a year.
A year.
So why should they pay $30 a month?
They agreed to initially.
They could just say disconnect me and I'll start hauling it.
I wasn't involved in making the agreement.
I think we need to revisit that. My thought was that if
charging $50
a year,
we should look for the original contract.
Well, I agree, but we should sort of revisit the whole thing.
And I'm not opposed to adjusting the dollar amount to be reasonable.
Then we can
reasonable.
Revisit it after we have that.
Yeah. Okay. You look in your files and see what you can find. Okay, so moving right on, we've got those, and I think we'll have a direction moving forward. Sale of water to water haulers, we've already discussed some of that. The only issue is a little ambiguous whether we're going to sell water to non-members or not to use.
I think that's a pretty important issue, that one right there.
And I think it is, too.
So my gut, my own personal gut feel is maybe possible, but they pay pretty dearly for it because we've paid very dearly for it.
Well, and I think of it this way. We're renting and selling cabin time to non-members as an association. There's really no difference to me in also to make money or have some. It's not a huge deal, and I don't know whether water would be bigger. But I don't think that it makes sense to say we're not going to sell water. I think we need to discuss and decide what the cutoff price point is to make it make sense. little bit of benefits branch for what they've done where these people aren't paying assessments. And so I would propose we just discuss or have Mariah or somebody that's over there look into it a little bit and suggest maybe a price we do, but I don't know whether everybody's even in favor of doing that or whether they say, you know, ranch use only, which, again, doesn't make sense where we're making
other things. If we get tied to the green, well, I don't know. I feel like we should have a certain amount. If somebody's out of water and they're staying, who knows, we're near us, and they come to us, hey, we don't have any water, our system's down, or we just don't have any water, it ran out, we didn't bring it up. We gotta say, hey, we're ready to give them 10 gallons just to the good nature. You know?
Well,
but if it's an ongoing thing, then there should be a definite charge,
right,
especially if somebody hauling water. And then
the second half to that is, unfortunately, the ranch caretakers are going to have to monitor that.
Or have those sources locked.
Or lock up the sources.
That's so what we should do anyway.
To be
you don't want to
legal, well, there can be yard hydrants that are fire protection and water the lawn, but the certified water hauling spot that if we decide to sell to other people, great. If we don't, for our own members that are hauling water, legally, the state can hammer us because right now, if Joe goes down to the headquarters and fills up water to haul to his cabin, the way we have it set up right now, the state can hammer us.
How come?
Because we don't have a certified water hauling station. And you're hauling culinary drinking water.
You can't.
From a culinary drinking water source.
Reuptake of water back
and
to the
Vance,
source.
Are you still on?
And all that stuff.
Yeah, go I was going to jump in here. We used, Larry, we used to, and I know what you mean. We need to, okay, who's talking?
That was me. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay. So we used to have one. It requires the overhead swing arm and the air gap, and we used to have all that stuff. But, you know, it's disappeared. It's probably with the yellow generator. You know, I have no idea where it all went, but it's not hard to do. I've got a good document. I think I sent it to you guys a little while ago about what it takes to haul water. It's about 20 pages of stuff. And Larry's exactly right. They can shut down its system for everybody if we don't do that right. But it isn't hard, and we did it before. It's mostly hardware and procedures. And I agree that unfettered access to the filling station, whatever we decide to call it, is not right. You know, anybody else that has a filling station for any place else I've ever been are issued keys or a combination or whatever to unlock it. So that's some of the things we do need to look at.
So I would feel like the book would be in order to say that until we are prepared with a proper station, that we notify outside people wanting water that we're not able
not
to get the water
for,
now,
I mean,
that it may be coming in the future, but it's not available now. And the other part of my motion would be this. For members, we do have a locking system, and for those that pay their $50, they get a key or some way of coming there and not having to round up the managers and take them away from whatever they're doing to get water. That would be my motion.
Give me your nap time.
I woke up to the managers. I thought we were caretakers.
You are. Well, you manage, you take care of everything, and you manage it well.
My comment would be that I think it's not a huge expense to set up the correct station, re-put it in place so our members are doing it correctly to not jeopardize our system. Once that's done, I think that could be paid for, and it could be an income source for the ranch to continue
that's
maintaining
right.
The system.
We need to vote on my motion now.
Okay. Your motion was to...
Is there a second to my motion?
That was for the water to not do it until it's been.
And that the members that are hauling be, and then we quickly get a wave lock in and we give them a way to access that without bothering them.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
My only comment is
that system needs to be put in place for our members so that it's, number one, safe and doesn't offer potential contaminants into the system.
Yeah.
And we go through the same cycle we just got through going through on cleanup and decontaminating and everything. But once that's in place, money could be generated by selling water to anybody and everybody. But the rate, this was my discussion with Vance some and with Brent, was I'm not opposed at all to having a pretty hefty rate. You know, if somebody's wanting to buy 200 gallons, 500 gallons.
And Vance sent us a 20-page thing telling us what it costs. We should be at least charging that plus whatever
you
think.
120 is just small, practical, common sense matter. There's no, how do we tell? I mean, I guess if they're carrying 5-gallon buckets, we know they take 5 gallons, but it's going to be difficult to.
If it's an off non-member that doesn't have prearranged paper 50 key or whatever, then it will require, and that's, we should factor that into the equation of the cost. It will take them
every time to come out and say, oh, I'll get 50 gallons. That's a 300 gallon thing.
We charge
per gallon.
I was going to ask is, do we charge per gallon or do we charge per day or do we charge?
Let's relook at what
they have. Some people got 2,000 gallon trucks.
Yeah. We should have a limit too.
We already have a limit in the rules for members, which obviously would at least apply to non-members. If you wanted to restrict it further, we could look at that.
Vance, if you have that electronically, can you resend it to us, the cost of pumping water?
Which thing are we talking about here?
Which day?
No, which item do you want me to send you?
He has a guide. It's a guideline on the state.
Okay. The DGW.
Not that about the cost.
Did you say
you had a 20 pages of how much it costs us to do that? Or
No.
Are you talking about the regulation?
It's 20 pages of technical stuff about what you have to do to have an approved filling station.
Oh, okay.
Still valuable stuff, though. You know, and I'll be happy to send it again. Yes, I do have it. Brent has run the numbers on what it costs to run the generator to pump water. So he'll have that.
It wasn't that much for, like, 300 gallons. It was, like, five.
The average person got 200 gallons.
Right, but you've got to remember that it's not just the cost of the diesel we're talking about. We have a system, a water system that we have to pour money into for maintenance and testing and every other thing else that it requires.
All those things have to be considered.
Exactly right. I'm with Larry on charging. You know, I'm with Larry on charging for it. And one other thing we need to remember, and this is Brent's pet peeve, is what happens to us if a non-member hauls unknowingly contaminated water and they get sick?
That might be like the horses, and we decide not to do it at all.
Something. We need that. There's things, several things that need to be considered. Now, you know, typically our testing regimen will catch a problem with this system, but it's possible that somebody could fill up the day before we do our monthly test, and the test comes back positive the next day, and where are we at that point?
I think, this is Barry, I think that when we get the, well, as part of opening up for the year and setting up the locked water source, we need to have a sign there that simply gives the appropriate information to members and non-members alike that this water is from a rural source and that by using it, they waive any responsibility of the ranch and any of that kind of stuff and take care of it there.
Yeah,
that's fine. In other words, we provide the water as is.
Yes. I think we need to have a sign that basically provides that. And it's also a place where we would post boil notice if we got one on that same post or sign place. So. All right, so that I think we're done with water testing procedures. We're working on those, and if we can get the caretaker/rancher manager to the operator's course later this in February, that will help. That's all I've got.
Okay. Sorry, Brad. We passed at 1:25, so we don't have no time for your report.
I just have a quick question, and maybe I missed it, but we're charging for fuel and we're charging for water, so how do we take those? How do we charge them?
We're going to have to figure that out. We haven't done it in the past. And until
right now, you don't charge it for water because you don't give them any water.
But if somebody stopped there and they needed gas, we've been charging them, $5 a gallon or something.
$8, $10
a gallon.
Okay, that's what we needed to know.
How much?
And they're going to have to, for the time being, they're going to have cash.
Okay, so cash. Okay.
Cash, unless it's somebody you know or,
And the water we're talking about is right there by the tool shed, right?
Yeah.
Because Rick came down the other day to grab some water, and I noticed he was grabbing it from there.
Just, you guys have a gun, right? I'm kidding.
Are there people?
The water filling spot was out by the garden playground. I don't know what happened to. Is that where?
Yeah,
there's water there.
That's where everybody goes.
Yeah.
Big pen used to be.
Yeah.
That's where I get my water.
Just rolls right out of the pig pen.
That's a smell when you pass our lot.
$10 a gallon. I'm so pissed. Okay. And right now it's cash.
Frank got back to us on the generator.
Right.
The yellow one.
Uh huh.
And his email just basically says, last time he heard of it was Paul took it off the trailer and he hasn't seen it since. I'd ask Paul. Before that, the manager, Jeff and Evie, had it mounted on some kind of a trailer that they were hauling it around doing something with it.
Didn't he use that up at the upper frame?
I think that's a different generator.
Wasn't it one on the trailer?
That was a gas one.
That was a small one, yeah.
There's a small gas generator there.
When Paul left the first time, it was in that solar shed. When he came back the second time, he pulled it out of the solar shed and mounted it on some kind of a wagon. And then he took it and it was disturbed.
Just on generators, you can figure out the harmonics. I have a 25K generator, diesel generator, that didn't run a whole lot, but I could never figure out the harmonics, and it's just sitting at my place that I'd be willing to sell it at a very reasonable price.
The Razor diesel generator that we're talking about,
it doesn't have a remote.
I have an identical one to it that quit running for some reason, and I haven't dug into it or figured it out, but there's several of them around if somebody can figure them out.
That's 25 kW, and it won't be.
I think these other ones were
expensive.
Either 5 or 6.
You see it? Yep, up there by next to my, the one I haul in on the wheels,
yeah.
The big 50 kW.
We don't want
to
do that because we just want enough to power our solar system up there. So we're saving fuel.
The problem is, a lot of times the smaller ones are the ones that don't produce the correct sine wave form. So you've got to get up to about 5 or maybe 6,000 kW before they're the right generator.
I see.
I mean, it depends. You know, if it's a Honda, it probably could be a little bit lower. But the more expensive ones like the Hondas or the one that Joey's got, it's a, can't be what it's called.
What is that another one that they sell?
Very young, Brad. I was just kidding. Brad, give us your time. And it's now almost 2 o'clock. We're about half hour behind.
The brush hogging, we spent our money brush hogging. If any of you guys have been to the ranch, you can see the airport, almost a large portion of the airport have been finished brush hogging, and then as you go down the hill and drop over the cattle guard, if you look back over into the flat right there, we had 24 acres over there. There was also some private ground acres that he brush hogged also. So that's all been done, and primarily that did not have, it had very little rabbit brush in it.
Sagebrush.
Was that Roland Dean that did that?
Yeah, Roland did it with his machine, and so we spent. These are the two areas that are brush hogged, and I would estimate that we probably brush hogged 124 acres or something like that and cleared up.
Do we intend to replant that acres with anything?
Well, it has a pretty good undergrowth, so it depends on what happens. If it doesn't come back up, then we'll want to do some replanting.
Roland Bean is experimenting with his property over there, and he just finished some replanting, so I want to see how much it costs him to come in and to do some reseeding there. But if the undergrowth is sufficient enough, now the other stuff is gone, plus mulched into the ground, if we ever get any rain, then hopefully that's gonna really make a huge difference back up on the area. Just like
probably got a couple inches, didn't we, like, last year?
How much?
Yeah, we got quite a bit. The roads are still...
We got
a
inch and a half. Grass Canyon is 1.8 or something.
What happened? We got upwards of 4 to 6 inches of snow, but it rained it off. It snowed, and then it rained a really, really rain, and it melted it all, which is good. That helps us moisture-wise better than snow. Half the time, the snow evaporates.
We got a killer deal. I thought originally I was hoping that our 5,000 would go farther than it did, but if you do the math, he did it for way cheaper than anybody else is going to come in and rush hog acre ground of like 40 something dollars an acre, which no one was going to come and do. They have a huge machine that goes 5 times the width of our machine.
You sent us that picture, yeah.
To come through the rush hog. That's made a big difference there. And it was smart because we got rid of the sagebrush and because we're not able to spray yet. And so that's going to give us the most bang for our buck as far as reproducing foliage and the right kind of grasses and greens on the property that we have. There's a few acres or a few areas right there. If you drive by, look at them. We're going to do some experimentation on those. It's just that's what rabbit brush is. If you look out on the, you'll see places that aren't mowed right there. It's the heavy, dense area of rabbit brush, and we're going to spray those, and we're going to try a couple of different things on those couple of areas to see.
Up on the airport.
Yeah, what damage we can do to those, but we're not going to leave them. Eventually, we can brush on them ourselves with this little Kubota. They're not very big, but it is the areas of very dense rabbit brush. The rest of it was primarily almost all sagebrush, and so that money, that check's going to be going out today. And we'll have $2,000 left to buy herbicides that we can start doing some brush hogging with you guys and then doing some spraying and some other things in the game with that. And that's my report.
What's our standpoint this year on matching funds or government funds? I know you.
We have one more form that we got to get Doug Hunt to fill out to send in, and then we're completely eligible and applied again for the funds. So he has one more thing that he has to sign and fill in, and then... Yeah, he's eligible for the matching funds. And so if he gets it in those areas, the original plan for that was aerial seeding because we were going to just aerial spike that because it's such a large area. I didn't think it was worth it till the situation that came in that was done. But it was only $37 an acre cost share for aerial spiking is what they would pay. But if it was...
what's aerial spiking?
You spike because it's not rabbit brush. You can spike the sagebrush, and they do it with a plane. You want to do it? You got a plane?
Yeah. Huh? No, I don't anymore.
No, but so they fly over larger areas.
Chemicals and they drop. Seed.
Yeah,
the chemicals called. Spike.
Yeah.
Oh, so chemical with the seed, you drop.
Yeah, I don't know what the thing is, but they call it spiking. It will go in and kill large areas of sagebrush.
Instead of using Roundup, you use spike.
And they
not planting grass. This is for killing.
No.
Okay.
They fly over and they spray.
Crop dusters.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on then to fish cabin maintenance and equipment, Joe.
Maintenance. So like it up there, I don't know what we're really going to need. As far as the brush hog, I want to do some repairing on that too.
You what?
Set the blades last year back to me, but I need to put some angle iron along the broken blade. We do a lot of that.
That's why they do crop dusting.
Screen doors on the shower. I had it on 7 and 8.
You have that on your
and then I want to put the wallboard round cap at 7 and 8. This is a special way I want to do it. Dave, to show you how I come up with the plan. It seems to work good on my cabin. Yeah. Is
anybody know if Cabin 2 is still mouse proof? Anybody been up there recently?
No, we haven't.
Hey, Joe, can we do that on my cabin this summer?
Excuse me?
We do that on my cabin this summer?
We'd like that.
But that works pretty good. So I got plans on doing that, but not much I can do to like it up there and explain things in detail of what I want done and how I want done. It's very easy. But
so they shouldn't use the brush hogger until you...
Yeah, you can use the brush hogger, but I just didn't run a goon. If you get into them where the branches are this thick, I'd be a little leery of it because the back end's going to want to flex and it'll start cracking again. So,
okay.
But we understand also the painting inside while the cabins are not occupied is really important. And as soon as we can get up, we're willing to help you.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, take care of. That's why we've kind of jumped into it like that, is so that we can take care of all that. So we're ready to go when April comes. Or, you know, whenever we stop.
And we know the decking needs to be done as well.
And but we did notice, what was it, 7, 9, 7, where the water that they had, you know, dug into the ground, and what happened was that there's straw everywhere that's been there forever.
That one that you usually stay on every year.
Yeah, so Brent was over there as we installed those solar panels, and the ground was dug into because there's a water access there, but there's another water access over here, so we decided that instead of dealing with what's been going on at this one and cleaning up all the old hay and straw that's strung out everywhere and the hole that's in the ground there, we're just going to seal that and use the other water access if that's okay with everybody, and then it seems a little bit more efficient than
As long as you mark the old one, so if we ever have to in the future, we can find it without digging all of it.
And she can log it, too.
if we cover a water line up, you can find a piece of steel.
Barry, take a rebar and a machine
that could pick it up.
You could put a rebar down there and put a little cap on.
And Mr. Finn did rebuild the decking on cabin 2. So he's pretty good at construction, so if there's some issues about strength, he's still good in construction. Yeah. So
I'll be back in Green Utah in February, and I have customers that I can do it with her, and I'll come out to the ranch. Depending on the roads.
Okay.
But if the weather's good, yeah, I'll come out to you.
Sure.
This is pretty good on that.
Okay, so you're done, Joe?
That's all I got.
Okay, John, can you hear us?
My brother and I.
Yes, I can.
Do you have anything you want to report on roads, public safety?
Okay, yeah, well, of course, we hadn't been up there doing any road work. The only thing that I had that I was going over with earlier was on the public safety part. And I was briefly talking with Larry and Brad about what Western Farm and Ranch, which is Steve Lloyd, about his proposal here that I have. I went out and got it, and there was a question about how much per hour and a question about how much he could cover in an hour and about the spring. So I went out and got this bill. It's not really a bill. It's a proposal that I haven't signed yet. But anyway, he's saying 35 hours is what he's basing all this on, is doing 35 hours. And I think he thinks that'll cover most of that metal.
How much per hour for 35 hours?
$110 an hour. Brush hogging and be some grinding, because there's some little trees in there that you don't brush hog, but that includes some grinding with his grinding.
So that 110 includes all of his equipment, fuel.
Yeah, all of his equipment. And that part was $3,850. Then he had. I'm sorry. Then the other part he had would be $1,000 for spring, but we would either have to supply the chemicals or allot him the money for the chemicals. And I think he's got this separated out here because we discussed spring at the same time. as you're brush hogging. But I think he's got this separated out because along the road there, he's proposing to go 12 feet on each side of the road. I thought it was 16, but it's 12 feet on each side. And the reason I think he's separating this out is because going along the road and backing up and going around all the trees, if you're running down a flat area there, you can have the machine spraying. But if you're going around a road and backing up and going around the trees, you'd be respraying and spraying some in the middle of the road and what have you, and be wasting a lot of chemicals. So he had set out 13.3 hours at $75 an hour, which would be $1,000 for that, to do that same area as the 35 hours.
How do you feel about that, Brad?
Yeah.
You lost me on the last one. There's an additional $35 an hour for what?
75.
For the spring. I was 13 hours
of spring.
It costs... If we bid one of the local guys to come and do, they charge us by the acre. I don't know if we were doing the side of the road, if the cost of that thing would go a lot higher, or...
Well, as I said earlier, I don't know anything about this, but common sense tells me that you can quote so much an acre if you're going out across a flat field, but if you go down Meadow Canyon Road, you got all those big trees there and the washes alongside and on both sides, and you got to cross over those and go down into them and cut some willows that are growing in there and some other trees. I don't know how you could even predict how much time it's going to do an acre on there, because this 100 yards of road here might be able to do an acre. The next 100 yards of road, you might do a third of an acre, you know, just because of the terrain. So
you think he can do an acre an hour or on the side of the road? Or
I think that he could easily do an acre an hour on some things, but I don't think he could in some other things. If you're going along Meadow Canyon, there's that big wash right along the side, especially that upper Meadow area there. And it's more than 12 feet down over to that. And the bank is going down, and then there's all these trees that you got to go around, and some of them he'll just grind up with that machine. Some of the trees there that'll be up to about two to maybe 3 inches in diameter. If he does the same thing as he did on my property there, if he did the same thing as he did on mine, he was cutting up trees that were two and a half inches in diameter along with all that, just grinding them up. And
this 13 hours, yeah. Is that for going all the way up to the forest fence and back on Mill Canyon Road? From headquarters?
Yeah.
Or is it just 13 hours for however far he gets?
$110 an hour.
Right. He gets $110 an hour for doing the clearing and grinding.
If you can do chemicals, it's another $30 for chemicals.
Should he send in a proposal?
He is a half a.
Well, I think John's got a proposal. It would be nice if he could just share that with the rest of us.
John, we're feeling like we should have you send us all that proposal so we can give you a little more input.
Okay, I'll go down. I don't have a way to send it here. I think I can. I can send a picture of my phone.
Just email it to me, John, and I'll pass it around.
Joe? Okay, I'll do that, Joe.
When I get home, I'll just distribute
it. Take a look at it. But if you guys think it's too steep or you want to rethink it, fine, I'll just tell him to hold off until...
Well, I'm sure he gets
John,
maybe
John, yes. Do you have any plans on coming to Utah?
I've had several plans. I was planning on trying to come to this meeting. But But I anyway, go ahead and say, give me your thoughts.
Part of what I wondered about was an opportunity to look at it with you on something. I still have a question as to whether some of those areas need to be mowed and ground or just cleared. I mean, is it cheaper to run a bulldozer down the side of the road or run a mower and a brush hog?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You could answer that better than me. And
maybe you could tell him, John, that if it's like 13 hours for spraying or however many hours for brush hogging, we may reserve the right to do some stuff where he won't, you know, so that he can get further along the whole road. But as I just talked to everybody, we're maybe thinking it might hold up this whole process by you sending us the bid, and for the practicality of it all, that we should have you just get him going on it.
He's already basically set it aside in his budget, and I understand, and I'm all for saving money. I'm tighter than anybody, but
the spray stuff there. See that? Well, I'm looking at it here.
We pay for the spray. Is that the proposal?
We pay for the spray. His proposal came to $4,850, and I said, well, I only have about
$4,790
in it. He said, well, we worked that out. But I thought maybe we could get some of the spray out of that $2,000 we had set aside.
And we could.
So are we all in favor of having you just go ahead?
I think it's a super great deal if we were getting Meadow Canyon Road groomed from the airstrip to the northern gate for $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. If he gets halfway from the airstrip to Broad Hollow, and then it's like, well, that was kind of...
John, I guess our only worry is that he's not going to make it from the airstrip all the way to the forest gate.
Yeah. And I have nothing to judge that by, you know, because I know that I think he cleared out about 5 acres of trees and stuff for me for $2,500.
Could we put some of that on him and then ask him if he could get that far, if he thinks that he can get that far, because he's going to know his own work and what he can do, and then if he can, then I think people are feeling good about it. And
yeah, well.
It's just hard to write a blank check and just hand it to people who...
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to give him anything until after we did it, but that's why I put it on a pending thing there, because I didn't want to... I just wanted the proposal and wanted to get started before the end of the year so we could get it on this last year's budget. And I told him that. I already told you, so it's a bit redundant if I go over everything that I said earlier. But I got this literally as I was in the truck backing out to come to Arizona. And
John, I'd like to propose that you go back to him and just say, if you can clear the sides of the road from the airstrip to Meadow Canyon, to the Forest Service fence for $5,000, that's your budget, plus we'll add a couple hundred dollars, then we go with it. And then he's going to come back and tell you, I can do that, or I can only do half of that. Then we know what we're talking about, because all the talk with these smart guys talking about acres and hours doesn't mean anything to me. What matters to me is, how do we get the road contoured and fixed as far as the sides cleared from the airstrip to the fence? I don't care how many acres that is, and I don't care how many hours it takes. I just need to know how much that costs.
So they're not planning on doing any contouring. All they're doing is doing vegetation removal.
Yes, the vegetation removal and widening the road as far as vegetation goes. I understand
all
that.
The vegetation that's rabbit brush, which is a plethora of it along there, will be back in 3 years. Thicker than it is now if they don't spray it.
Well, and that's why I'm saying that needs to be.
So we want the cleared road and we want it all sprayed.
Any rabbit brush needs.
Especially rabbit brush.
That's $50 a gallon for herbicide, and it will be, it's 2 quarts to the gallon to spray it for acre.
Yeah.
And the rabbit brush can't spray it if mold or ground is damaged plenty. If it's bladed off. how deep have you got a blade to get enough of the crown or the roots or whatever? That's
okay, John, do you understand what Barry said? Can we go with that?
Yeah, well, I agree with that thinking.
Go with that.
Because I don't understand, I don't know how they could work the acres anyway. Can you do it or can you not do it?
Yeah, so let's just say this is what we want done. Can you do it for this price?
And I'll do that, and also talk to him about, I like Larry's proposal too. So I will ask these questions before, I know he's ordered some parts for his machine, and they haven't come yet. Because what he's doing is he's doubling the speed of the blades in there with cutting the half the speed of the engine on the tractor down. And
okay, John, that's all good. So, we'll leave that up to him. Do you have anything else?
No, other than I think Larry and I are going to get together on some gutters or some culverts. And I'm going to order some more culverts this on my next year's budget when I get back around there.
John, if we're paying for this anyway, could you get him to add in the cost of the chemical so it's cut and sprayed all the way along there and just include that in the bid?
Yeah, I can do that.
Then we don't have to have pie in the sky on how much chemical money we're going to be spending.
Yeah, I can do that.
10 gallons of chemical is $600.
Okay.
I know that he was up there last week or a week before, and I know that he's had plenty of time to look at it. So, okay, I'll do that.
All right, thank you, John.
Yep.
Okay, now we're on to number 11.
Already in two spots on the ranch.
No.
Nothing grows there.
Update on number 11. Now, Mariah, you can take off this relationship because I think you just gave us a report, and you'll always give us a report on how that's doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talk about web development and communications. I want to know what your expectations are from me on this, because I'm not sure. Because I heard for the
cable in the ground, and it was $64,000 or something. I've just got bits and pieces that
the cable that went up and down the
Schoonapah Road.
Yeah, it's all done, but we haven't contracted because it was some enormous
$60,000
for one part, just to tap in.
And then another.
You are going to tap in?
No.
If you're paying, we are.
That's what I heard.
So, crazy.
Okay, so I'll tell you, if you're talking about web development like our web page, deerspringsranch.org, I did look at that, and it's severely outdated here and there. So, Vance, under all of those different headings, as I looked at it, we need to update, of course, the obvious with the board membership. We have an old thing about, I can't remember his name, set up a group site for communications or having a group discussions and blah, blah, blah on what site was it?
There's a Yahoo group.
On a Yahoo group, which I always objected to because Yahoo throws so much crap in there at you. And we had already a thing on our, if you wanted to email the board or talk to board members, if you look there, those names are outdated too. But does that, the answer, my question to you is that still functional if they click on that to send us an email, a board member an email?
Yeah, I changed all that right after the meeting. What you're going to have to do is force a page refresh on whatever you're looking at it with, Phil, because it's loading a cached page. Because I always fix that right after the board meeting as soon as I can.
Okay, well, like if you want to email a board member right now, it has an old board on there.
What he's saying is what happens with this internet when you have a cached page, which means is when your computer logs in,
Yeah, goes it automatically goes to the old page.
Oh, so you, this is something you have to do from your own computer.
So what you need to do is pull up that web page and then click the little circle.
Refresh thing?
The refresh, and it should give you the current version. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the Yahoo chat group or whatever, which I think should just go away. It serves no purpose whatsoever.
I totally agree.
And I think we need to, members need to communicate with us, and then we need to decide what we put on the website rather than, I don't think there's really, there's a couple places where you can leave comments and stuff. They're very old. They don't really apply. And I'm not sure they're really that helpful. So I think we can update and eliminate some of those things.
So, Vance, what I would propose is that I will call you on the telephone and bring up the Deer Springs Ranch site and kind of go through it with you. And you can tell we'll update, eliminate, and do that kind of stuff. Okay?
Yeah, or if you just want to make a list and email it to me, both of those things could work too, Phil. So
I'll just call you. I'd rather call you.
Okay, fair enough. Just give me a quick update on when you think you might be doing it. I'll try to make myself available.
Okay.
I'll bring him out.
I don't know. Are most evenings, in case you have an event going on, okay with you?
Well, that pretty much works. What I mean is just leave me a message if you don't get through to me that you're trying to get through to me.
Okay.
You know, we don't need to decide it right now. I didn't mean that.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Vance.
Okay.
So then the other thing on communications, I'm assuming that's like one, maybe official letters.
We've kind of already discussed that with newsletters and those kind of things. I think that's what that's about.
Okay.
There is an issue with communication to the ranch that we had an internet cable get gnawed through, and they threw a replacement up in the trees, and that's working presently. But when weather permits, we're going to need to rewire the connection between the router in the container and the ranch house, right?
Yeah,
when the DirecTV guy came out, when it came from the house, and he actually secured all the wires against the house now, so they're not everywhere. But anyway, right before it goes into the ground, it was all chewed up. It was just bare wires.
Okay, but you guys are working on that, and we'll have a solution sometime in May or April.
We plan on, if we can't pull new wires, that's seen in the garage there, there's a whole bunch of electrical conduit. We'll go ahead and take a new line and redo it.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
By the way,
the other thing on communications, if you get like these individual members, if there's fairly controversial things, I can't remember the example of how we had this happen. We should all be careful of having our personal opinion, sending them out, and having them interpreted as a board opinion. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, we should bring those up with everybody before we individually respond to that. So just be careful of that, because sometimes somebody will know you, and they'll maybe think, well, I'm just going to complain to him because I might get through better than getting through to somebody else or the board as a whole. But we should, I think I said this out a little, we should, if it's a general thing, like the policy of the rules and regs especially, we should discuss it and then respond if we feel we should respond. Oh, I know, it was that lady with the paper plate that was, you know, that kind of thing. So I won't just fire off. I won't tweet like President Trump. I will bring it up with you guys. I want you guys to do. Now, actually, the very first time I heard this Facebook page thing was just now. So
we have a Facebook for the ranch. If you get on Facebook, you go to our Facebook account. You can go join the group. You can communicate to all of our ranch members via through Facebook, if they're Facebookers. Lots of people aren't.
And, but it requires an administrator so they can kind of monitor. Okay. They can add, if you wanted to join, if you could request to join, and the administrator would say, add you to the group or whatever.
It goes right along with the website. I mean, the same type of stuff. But the Facebook is where people can go on and say, I just left the ranch, and here's some pictures, and here's the snowy stuff. And
so that's what we tried to do with the original old
it worked a little bit different, because if you have a Facebook account and you come and you leave the ranch and you're on my group, I'll have a notification that you've just posted pictures, and so I'll be able to see the pictures immediately.
Rather than go to the webpage.
Yeah. So it'll come to me. It'll come to me that, hey, you posted a thing, versus you got to get on and log on to the website to see.
And what so to, who, to this point, who's been the administrator?
Jody.
She sent me some thoughts on that, if you would like some
thoughts. Sure.
She said that what she's been doing with that is just, and we need to find out whether members can post. I don't believe members can post right now. They can comment, but they can't post to the page, I don't believe, which is something that she felt was important, just so we can regulate what is being posted on the Deer Springs official page. And I have another comment.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, there's where we get in trouble, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
Deer Springs official page. Heretofore, this hasn't been official, has it?
No. I may have thrown that word out loosely.
Anybody could start a group.
We have one for our family reunion.
Everybody posts.
But you have to say, I want to be admitted. And then the person in charge says, okay, yeah, you're a member or whatever, and allows you. Then you get notifications from whatever happens on that page, on that Facebook page.
And it's on Facebook enough that if somebody posted something, I think we should use that, because it's just a social media kind of thing that you don't have to be involved in, or you can be involved in it.
But do you have to have a moderator?
Yes, have to have a person that calls the shots, but we can designate whoever that is, whoever you want.
And so I think it's cool to be able to post, have an open forum there, and see if we get more communication going through Facebook, because it's not like officially a board thing, it's just a group. Which basically a group of us all are going to have access to.
By show of hands, how many of you go on this regularly?
How many do what?
We'll go on to the Facebook place regularly.
The ranch one or Facebook in general?
The ranch, whatever it's ranch Facebook.
I never go on the ranch Facebook. I'm not even a group member of the ranch Facebook. But nobody ever posts anything. It's been pretty limited to whatever.
Do we really need it? Is my question.
Here's two thoughts. One, she's used it as a place where people, where you can have small discussions. She's posted meetings. She's posted the results from the election, pictures or videos that are happening out there.
That's official stuff. So I don't know.
Which is the website responsibility, in my opinion, that we post those official types. This is more of a social media communication between ranch lot owners. And if
so
you don't want
more,
to be involved,
it's
you
a
can
more
be,
for
and as a matter of fact, we can do it without the board's opinion. If we want, we just start our own. And we call it the Deer Springs Lot Owners Group. It doesn't matter what you call it. You can call it, you know, the Phil Hall Dentist Association Group or whatever. Or whatever. It's just social media.
It's out there. We set it up. It has some use for opportunity for people whenever they're looking at the ranch or whenever they want a communicator. Normally, I don't know what restrictions there are, but normally you go on and say, I was just there and here's some pictures and we had a great time, or you know, the toilet's broke or something.
Does Jody still want to do it?
No.
Or you?
No, but she suggested also, she's had people approach her and say, you know, I'd like to put on there that I do, that my lot's for sale. And she said, well, I think that's great. We have like a Deer Springs Ranch classified, but we need to be careful that anything that goes out there, it's open to the members like that, that the board needs to have some sort of a discretion on there, indicating that these are not always opinions. But
and I propose we keep it
unofficial. That's why I think
unofficial.
It should be totally separate from us.
We just keep it unofficial. There is a Facebook group that association members can go on, and they can post what they want.
If somebody posts my lot's for sale, it's clearly from them. It's not the board. It's Barry Clarkson posted my lot's for sale. Here's the thing. And eventually that rolls off, and people that are my friends or people that are on that side are going to see it pop up once, and then it's going to go away.
her concern was someone who might say, I do this for a living, and I'd be willing to come to your lot and do this if they weren't a good contractor, or they did that.
We're not going to control that.
That's why she was saying.
There's no way. I mean, no. That's a website, official kind of stuff. This is an unofficial social media networking.
Social for entertainment.
But if you have an administrator, if somebody posts filthy stuff on there, porn or swear words or anything, you know, they can block and kick them off the group or whatever. So somebody has to do some kind of control over
it. The real question is Jody was still in that role? Do we want to continue it, or do we want to cut it loose and call it good and not do it anymore?
Well, I'm probably not the right person to ask because I would just cut it loose and not put it down. Let anybody wants to involve themselves with that have fun and do it. But to have
is there anybody any board member that would be willing to?
I don't think we should have a board member.
Board member wife would be willing.
I was going to say Tammy.
But I don't think it should be anything official.
I don't think
it
really,
a board member
it really, Facebook is. It really isn't, and you can't tell who that person is, by the way. If I go on Facebook, I have no idea who's running that face. My firm site, you can't tell
that's
who
the
person
that's
is. Or
that was my concern, that it would be something that would be looked at as an official board site. This is a real common.
Nobody can tell that. Jody's been doing it for years now, and none of us even know or care because none of us use it or.
The older you are, the least likely you are to be on Facebook.
I'm on it all the time.
You tell us.
You got a comment? He's thinking over there, and he had his hand kind of like half up. You want to say anything?
I'm just taking it all in this first meeting.
Very long one.
Well, if we decide we want to keep it, I'm perfectly happy to be the administrator or whatever. For
Tammy said
whatever.
She would too.
Tammy, I wouldn't. I don't think it needs to be official, and I'd just soon not have a lot of response.
Here's what I would not want it to turn into. If it could be as broad as possible, I guess you can't regulate that either. But say we had 5 of the people that didn't like water haulers got in there and are just ranking and just chewing on the board or chewing on the caretakers or something.
Block them and go on your way.
That totally can happen, and so that's why
they
need to be administrator.
They can be blocked as long as we have the administrator on. That's the problem is if we turn it over to somebody else or don't shut it down, then there's nobody regulating it. But if we keep it, then we can start.
If it has to do with us, then we should stay in control then, I think.
Great. I'm good with Tammy doing it if she wants to.
We can fire her.
We can always
Okay, I move that Tammy be substituted as the administrator on the Facebook page, and we'll just all actually look at it.
I would just add to your motion that she's accountable to you as on the board.
And not Brad, no.
And not Brad.
Hallelujah.
And that she agreed that she's willing to, if there's some kind of problem that you don't agree with, that she agrees to give it up.
Any second?
Does she agree to that, though?
You are. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So on that basis,
I love it a very strong.
Yeah.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble.
My trouble?
They
don't ask me any questions about it.
I mean, if we want to keep the finger in it, we've got to keep the finger in it. And so that's not the whole finger.
You can look at it for 6 months, 8 months down the road,
I personally don't get on it.
Click on
my kids call me and say, "Hey, Dad, did you see this?" I go, "No."
Yeah, I
don't.
People,
it's
communication and rapid communication.
I can see how it'd be really fun.
So it could be negative.
I can see how she'd make it fun too.
The way some of them are set up, I don't know if ours is the same way. But number one, you have to be admitted by the administrator as a member. Number two, you can comment. Once you're admitted as a member, you can see the content, you can comment on the content, but you can't add anything unless the administrator gives you that power.
Sounds like that's the way this was set up. I don't know.
I know that's the way we have several of them set up, and that's the way it's controlled.
Well, thank you for your expertise.
But if I don't necessarily, the reason I never go on there is
you have a real life. You don't live in the virtual
world. Why would you
supposed to go on there if you can't communicate through it? I mean, if it's not open for communication, then it's not a tool. So.
I kind of thought it was.
Okay, do we need to modify, with that one modification for me, is there a second to Barry's motion?
Hey, yeah, Brad, Brad, second either, Brad,
second
all,
okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Go
with it. Oh, yeah, there you are. And thank you for being willing to do that.
And we can change it if something's going sour.
You may get fired tomorrow, but you're on it now.
You're, yeah.
Okay, now let's move on to Larry, but I want to bring one to I went online, and maybe you've all read it, but I printed out 34 pages of this fire protection plan. And there's a lot of updating in there. It needs to be the wrong names and stuff, too. Old, you know, old board names and stuff. But I guess what I want to tell you there, I think that falls under your area, update fire protection, but maybe not. And I had agreed to be involved in trying to bring this to fruition. So do you feel like that should be a part of your area, or you want me to take that?
You can if you want. I basically, Brent is kind of our resident fire expert. And
yes.
He's the one that.
He wouldn't take the chairman spot. He would be on the board, but he wouldn't take the spot.
Well, he's still the one that's been kind of coordinating
yes.
it all and brainstorming it all. So I've just kind of let him
to play.
Do what he does, but he.
What he doesn't want to do.
But he wants to, yeah. Wants to take one step back, and so
he doesn't want to be a wormer. He likes to play like he is.
If you want to take that, or I don't know how what more we need to do if we have to form an official committee.
Well, we did kind of have a committee, and Brent was on it. I agreed to be on it, and I don't remember if anybody else was. Were you, Brad? Anybody else? No. Okay.
No,
I know
we had to get the plan in place and adopted in order to.
And so there's a skeleton of a nice skeleton of the plan, and what they're suggesting stuff, but they leave purposely just blank for us to try to customize it to our region, our area. And I'm quite interested in this, and I'd be willing to work on this. And I think you ought to be on the committee, is what I'm suggesting.
I think that's all a red hat guy should be on.
Red hat, yeah. And Larry, do you want to be on that committee or not? What jobs have we. Okay, so because he doesn't have a particular assignment right now, does he? Okay.
I think that became one of my supposed areas just by default when I
yeah,
came on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really haven't, even since the annual meeting, we've never revisited and said, okay, these are everybody's particular assignments and this is the reason why. So, you know, that can still fall under my, as a director, that can be my area. But then as a committee and who works on it, the three of us can be on it, Brent can be on it, you know, whatever it needs to make work. This is important. Safety-wise, insurance-wise,
uh-huh.
makes a big difference to the ranch.
And members are supposed to be taking pictures of things that they've done and turn that in. And, again, something like that could go in the newsletter as to the lemon trimming that you're doing, et cetera.
Because we get credit with.
Right.
As I have time, then I'd be more than happy to take the document and actually update it and put it in a format where we can change correct names and
mm-hmm.
update from time to time and also fill in blanks and start customizing stuff if you'd like as far as doing the document.
Okay. Then we'll officially make you a member of the committee.
Would be part of the fire plan.
So committee right. member, committee member, committee member, committee member, board. Should I say board member him?
That's fine.
Or would you rather have your hot hand on your...
I have no... emotional attachment.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. Okay. Well, then I would make that recommendation that this be your baby, but I want to be right in there with you. I'm going to do that. Okay.
Along with that, I wasn't sure if he knew taking over.
This was done in conjunction with the guys in the last annual board meeting with Brad.
Yes.
I'm part of it.
As far as geographical areas of the ranch, Jody was typically, I mean, her area was Broad Hollow, and so I would assume that now his, even though that's not where his lot falls, he is the board member representing Broad Hollow.
Unless we want to reshuffle those a little bit.